PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
There's nothing to be scared of. All it takes is a little self-confidence. You know, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drum. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 237 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio, doing our thing for the 237th time. Good golly. Is there a point to all this? I think there is, actually. We'll talk about that in a second. Now there's a point. But first off, your threat update. Gotta do the threat update. Current threat level is beige. Threat level is beige. Monetize your certainties. Your Crespediso weather update. It was cloudy this morning. Kind of a bummer.
What's up with the hard G on the beige? You said beige.
Did I?
Yes.
Beige.
What's up with the hard G? That's a weird pronunciation of the color beige.
With the enunciation criticism of Drew Sacogburn, Drew.
I know
Drew Sacogburn.
Kind of weird, man.
I guess I over-enunciated my thread update.
You did, yes.
Beige? It's not a color. It's not a word I say every day.
Beige.
You say it.
Beige.
Now it sounds like the Beyonce cast. We're the Beige Boys, because we talk about Beyonce, and I don't know where that's going. Drew Sacogburn, how you doing, dude?
I'm here. It's another week.
Crespediso Studio, and it's another week. Oh, we forgot to do the traffic update.
I-4 is construction on I-4.
Construction on I-4. There you go. That's your traffic update. We have returning guests. He hasn't been here since episode, I think, 33. So over 200 episodes later, he's back. It's hard to get a guy on a podcast on a Sunday when he has a very steady gig. But that gig ended, right?
Yeah.
That gig's lost. That place is lost. It's our game because he is back for 237. Ladies and gentlemen, Angel Rivera.
Thank you, guys.
How you doing, dude?
It's been way too long.
It's been a very long time, right? But you're a busy dude, man.
Luckily. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, exactly. Is this wood?
Close enough. Sort of.
I mean, it looks like wood. It might be faux.
It's that Swedish wood.
Yeah. Wood derivative.
Yes.
Yeah, you're a busy dude, and we always appreciate it when you can take the time to see us. So thank you very much for hanging out with us. And you're here for a special episode, too, man. We got a big announcement here, as a matter of fact. For people listening to the show, they heard a little drop at the beginning, a PFT Media drop, because we are now on the PFT Radio Network.
Oh, right on.
Oh, shit.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Well, I bestowed it upon myself.
Good job, Chris.
Thank you. I am the co-king of the shitty kingdom.
Pat yourself in the back.
I hit that button for myself, and I'll do that.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. I named myself president in a way. Here's the idea. I wanted to do a podcast network. There's a lot of talent in this town, a lot of people who don't have podcasts or who are doing them, and they're putting out a good product, and everything can be bigger, right?
Right.
So I wanted to pull everything together, network style. It's not a new idea. It's all over the place. People are setting up networks and failing left and right. So I figured, why not throw our hat in the ring and do our own fantastic failure for everyone to see. But this one's not going to be a failure. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. The PFT Radio Network. The reason it's called PFT is because it's actually the evolution of what Steve Ecce has going on, the PFT Radio Network.
Gotcha.
Dropped one of those Fs. You know those guys.
Yeah.
We're dropping one of those Fs. It's the PFT Network now.
Gotcha.
So we got Cinema Crespediso. What's the Fuss, which you were on very recently, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had a great time with
them. We have, now we got my list over here. We just signed them. This is huge. Confirmed it.
Drum
roll. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the drum roll. Scotch and Good Conversation.
Nice.
Peter Von Taborski, PVT himself, past guest of the show. I've been on his show. You've been
on
his show,
I've been on Peter's show, too, yeah.
It's a fun show, man. It's a great show. Great one-on-one interview show. I'm a big fan of him and what he does, and he has signed on.
Nice,
yeah,
man.
So Scotch and Good Conversation, part of the PFT Radio Network. We are going to be working with... it should be up by now. I'm knocking on fake Swedish wood. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the day. If you go to pftmedia.com or if you search for these people's social media, I'm sure it's out there, you can find a podcast for Pedro Lima, brand new podcast with his homie Dan Perella. They're doing The Devil's in the Details. That's getting an applause. The Devil's in the Details. It's an education show, as a matter of fact.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. But I'm producing the show, so I was in studio for their first episode, in which the topic they picked was fascism, and I was like, oh my god, where's this going already? Oh boy. But it was fantastic.
Good.
It was
a lot of fun. I'll definitely check that out.
Yes, Dan is an extremely smart dude. He comes prepared, and then when they sat down right here at this table, right? No computers, no devices, no notes. I was like, you guys need anything? A Wi-Fi password? Dan looked at me, he was like, no, I'm good. I was like, all right, here we go. And then when he started the show, when he started talking about fascism, and he began with the etymology of the word, it begins with the Latin and it means this. I was like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing.
All right.
This guy's good. And then Pedro was doing his Pedro thing. He's being awesome, Pedro.
Yeah. Perfect. Good, good, good.
He was being a giant Puerto Rican gorilla. Which, follow him on Twitter, at Rican Gorilla. That wasn't a this. That's what it's
No, it really is. Nobody get turned about
and besides,
that.
I'm a Puerto Rican. I'm a Puerto Rican gorilla of some sort.
You're part of that. Yeah, I mean, you're a fairly large Puerto Rican man.
But in the wrong direction. This is a problem. So they got a show where it's going to be a learning show, but with fun, doing it in a fun way. That's going to be twice a month. So check that out. The Devil's in the Details. We also will have a podcast game show version of the Simon Time trivia show. Simon Time does trivia all around town, like six nights a week, eight or nine shows during that week. He has a huge following. People love him, and we did a pilot episode and it worked out great. So we're going to be bringing in people, fans of his, contestants, real Curtis Earth trivia players from bars and restaurants and breweries around town. We'll bring them into the studio, and Simon will run a game for them, and we'll have prizes for them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everyone should check out the Simon Time trivia show. Simon Time will also be doing a wrestling show, which will be debuting very shortly as well. And he already has he has wrestling guests lined up that no one else can get. It's crazy because of his endearing connections to
the
people.
Connections,
yeah, it's weird how he's like, there are people who will not do other shows, but they will. Simon says, I'm doing a show. And they're like, I'll do it, Simon.
Nice.
So I'm very excited to bring people that. I got to look at my list. There are so many shows. We are doing with Big Tim Murphy, a brand new show with Big Tim Murphy. I love this guy. He is so much fun. He's been on Cinema Crespity Show a couple times. He's doing a history show. Where he's going to pick a topic, and he's going to go all the way to the beginning, and he's going to lead us all the way through it to how do we get to the current moment today, that moment in history, how it led up to now. And still working on the title of that one, but we should be going into production very soon. That'll be a weekly show. That's going to be a lot of fun. Big Tim is
right on, man.
He's a wild guy. We are working with... Guys, it doesn't end here. The PFT Media Network is it's starting out big, and it's going to get even bigger. It's probably too big. It's a little unwieldy. It will collapse under the weight of its own impragmatism and bullshittery. But there's stuff's already in the can, though, so it's not like these things aren't happening. They are happening. We got logos and theme songs. Mark Baratelli from the Daily City, we'll be working with him. We're doing a show, a spinoff of the Daily City, the blog. That'll be about Orlando stuff, and he's working on a second show, which is right now. That's the type of thing where it's like it's under wraps, and it's got a big sign that says under construction, and there's a red rope around it, and guards, and no one can look. We're building the intrigue. It's gonna be a weird, wacky, cool thing, and I'm looking forward to people seeing what we're cooking up. And I'm looking at the list. I think is that everything. Yeah. Steve Etchie and I are also doing like a flagship show, Tidbits. It's his old show, Tidbits. We're just rebranding it.
Nice.
And it's where we're going to be doing like kind of the best of the network and stuff like that. So, oh my God, all that shit is happening at PFT Media, PFT Radio Network. Angel, you're on the first episode of The New Beginning.
That's congratulations.
I know, it's an honor, right?
Thank you. Yes. Welcome to the beginning of the end. You're here.
It's the apocalypse.
It is. And it's a podcast. Podcast, that is not the name of this episode. And I hope you stick around for to see the glorious crash and burn it's going to be, or the great success that it will hopefully be.
Great success.
One of the two.
Great success, one of the two. Not something middling that just putters on for years and years without any real trajectory.
Either
or
glorious success
failure.
Or glorious failure.
One way or another.
One way or the other. And all right. Okay, I want to start the show, but there's another thing I want to talk about. Or should I save it for the second half? You know what? I'm going to save it for the second half because we got a lot to talk about. So let's get into Angel. You haven't been on in a while.
Okay? No. I was thinking about it. You guys are literally the first, outside of doing SBK Live, mm-hmm. You guys were the first podcast that I had ever done.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that's awesome.
Yeah. I was just thinking about it, just going over that because I 200 and some odd shows later, I was like, holy crap, it's been that long. But
and
during
since then, you've been on a number of shows. Podcasting has become much more popular in Central
Florida. Yeah. But you were the, I think it was you guys. I did your show first, mm-hmm. and then literally a few weeks later, one of my first appearances on Tom and Dan.
No shit, really. Yeah. Ah, we beat out Tom and Dan
on one thing.
Also, to be fair, we also, if we were going to go that route, we beat him out on getting SBK after the show being taken off.
There you go, yeah.
Because
right?
He was our third episode. Because he was like behind the scenes telling me to put everything together, literally helped me buy equipment, and be like, this is how you got to use the setup and the settings. I was like, thanks, Kevin. Thanks. Man, that is awesome. Yeah. That is so cool. And you're back.
Yeah.
And
Heck yeah.
Oh, and I put away my applause. I get one of these. Yeah, my man. Thank you so much. Well, the show is, it's the same, but it's different. All right. We kept a lot of the same things, but they've evolved. Maybe we've added a few things here and there. But you know how all this goes, right? Here we go.
Hold on for the ride.
Hold on. Here we go. Because we're getting started with that streaming pick of the week, which means we go right here. Here we go.
Assalamualaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Pick of the Week.
That's right, Crespediso streaming Pick of the Week time. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. There are just too many options out there, too many libraries for you to have to cycle through and pick something. So we help you this week. We're going to let you know what is your main, your best bet for an instant streaming option. Angel, let everyone know, what is this week's Pick of the Week, week?
It's off of the Hulu Network.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's going to be Time Crimes.
Oh, man. Please be on there. We got our fingers crossed. Drew is checking on JeffsWatch.com. Yes! Victory! Time Crimes! Los Cronos Crimenes is on Hulu, guys. Oh my goodness, if you don't have Hulu, sign up for the free trial and then watch it and then cancel your Hulu, because it is worth all that, the putting in their email and getting, having to unsubscribe to email,
I mean,
newsletter.
And if you want to know a little bit about it, just go on to justwatch.com, look up Time Crimes, and if you aren't immediately just like, I need to watch this movie, then there's something wrong.
Why? Based on what? What are you?
Based on that.
Oh, yeah, it's a weird image.
Oh, jeez.
That's a weird image.
You know what it's from.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is, but that's a weird-looking imagery. And it's a wild, wild time travel movie.
Is it? Yeah?
That's like a really small, contained one.
It's hilarious.
But because it's time travel, so the implications are huge. How do you even set it up? It just...
So basically the setup is...
A guy sees a dude in the woods investigates.
No. there's... It basically, it starts off with... There's like a guy in a room with a time machine.
Yep.
And they turn it on for the first time, and immediately everything goes to shit.
Oh, yeah. Once the time machine gets turned on, everything goes to shit.
All
right. Immediately, it goes to shit.
The way the story unfolds and the way the guy, like, they learn about the use of the machine
and how it works.
And they're trying to, like, fix the situation.
And
it's
just
weird
gets
and fun.
It gets dark and funny.
When he says funny, it's like dark comedy.
Yeah. God, it is so good.
Do we, are any of the actors, are they familiar?
No.
All fresh faces?
No.
Well, no, see, it's a little bit of an older movie.
It's almost 7 or 8 years old, right?
Yeah.
No shit.
It's from 2007, so 10 years old.
10 years old, 10 years old. It's and, the 10th anniversary.
And I'm pretty sure it's a Spanish movie.
It is for sure a Spanish film. It's from España. Yeah. From España.
So you're not gonna, there's not going to be anybody that you know.
Okay. Unless you're big on Spanish
cinema.
Barcelona. The exactly. movies of Barcelona. And but it is the director. That's his first movie, and he's in the movie. He's the guy who invents the machine. His name is Nacho Vigalondo, and he has gone on to direct his most recent movie, Nacho. Yeah, a real life Nacho. And his most recent movie is that one. What's it called? The Anne Hathaway one with the kaiju monster.
God. Oh, the one we never saw.
Damn the one it. That we didn't get to see. I forgot the name of it. It's killing me. But it's a movie in which Anne Hathaway plays like a drunk, a depressed drunk, and when she like gets angry or rages out or blacks out, there's like a kaiju monster that starts destroying the city.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't. Is that recent?
Colossal.
Oh Jesus. Colossal. Thank you, Drew. It played once at the Florida Film Festival. We couldn't fit that into our schedule. And then
did it get a wide release on that?
No, it played at the Enzian for like a couple.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it was one of those type of movies.
Understood. You
know? Just like Time Crimes. We saw Time Crimes at the Enzian back in the day.
So, I'm hooked. I'm definitely gonna check this out.
Yeah, Time Crimes is fantastic.
Right on.
It's so great.
I recommend it to anyone.
And it's quick too. So this is one of the most specific budgets I've ever seen, which is why I'm the only reason why I'm saying it.
For Valerian?
Yes, Valerian.
Valerian.
$209.184 million.
$209.184 million.
So $200 million.
Really on the books there.
$209,184,000.
What was that $4,000?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
I bet you there's a line item you can find $4,000. It's like Cara Delevingne's makeup wranglers. Her eyebrow.
Car
wranglers.
Service.
Whatever exactly. It's an oddly specific budget.
That is so funny. 209 million though?
209.184.
Woo! That's a lot of money. Yeah. And how much did it make?
17.
No, that's not money.
That's not good, right?
And that is not good.
Were you guys looking forward to this?
Absolutely, 100%. As a matter of fact, I want to try to see it today.
Okay.
Wait, we may go see it after the show because I want to see it in 3D, and it's surprising the lack of 3D options considering movies designed to be seen in 3D. You can tell. And the reason I do want to see this in 3D, despite not really being a fan of the gimmick, is because it's Luc Besson. You know,
yeah. Let me ask you how you guys feel about that though, because I love Luc Besson. I've seen a lot of his work, but when I typically think of this as a tell, when they start pushing the director over the movie, like the reason to see this is because it's Luc. It's not because of story or whatever, and that basically. What I've been told about it is that a lot of this is going to seem similar to you because it's very similar to Star Wars.
Because it's derivative. It's all story tropes and it's outside of the colorful alien species and the production design. It's all just the same story.
The reason to see it is to see Luke's interpretation and his visual.
It's funny that you guys say Star Wars because when we first saw that trailer, there was a kid sitting next to us.
Who
was trying to convince his father that this was a trailer for the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah. No way!
And his dad's like, it's not Star Wars.
Yeah, he was like 5 or 4.
He's like, no, it's a new Star Wars. His dad's like, it's not Star Wars.
He's just going,
Star Wars?
He's like, fine, Star Wars.
He finally gave in. He was like, fine, yeah, it's new Star Wars.
And I for one, hate like making those kind of parallels with movies. I like to try to let them stand on their own kind of merit and everything.
Yeah, sure.
But when those were the first things that I heard about this particular movie, I was like, oh, okay.
You see,
I'll slow roll it and see.
When I first saw the trailer for this movie, I'm like, okay, so this is the Fifth Element on crack.
Oh, there you go.
We have
already seen Luc Besson tell a story about fantasy nonsense in space.
We've already seen it. This is just a
$209 million version of it.
We haven't seen it designed to be seen like with like 3D. There's one shot in the trailer where it looks like straight up video game POV perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like running through levels and he's like literally getting to the next level and shit. I'm like, all right, this looks like fun. I mean, I could get down with this once.
Yeah,
it's got to be in the right spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like then if I eventually just watch it on my tablet. Laying in bed. I'm like, this movie sucks.
Like,
I can't even see all the details. There's so much going on. This tiny little screen. How do people even do that, man?
I don't understand that.
It's wild, right? Crazy wild stuff. All right, number 5. We're going to see Valerian, and then we're going to do a bonus episode about Valerian specifically that's happening.
Number 4 this week. War for the Planet of the Apes. Additional $20 million for a total of 97.
97? Guys, going to make over 100 million. It's a little off the last couple of ones. Not... that big of a surprise, considering it's the third in a trilogy, and that just happens normally with movies. They normally make less money instead of more. Sometimes the second one makes more, and the third one makes less than all of them. But it's a good movie, though, especially if you like them. Yeah. It's solid. It's good stuff. I was talking to Curtis Earth on his show, 91.5 WPRK, and I was like, Curtis, do you like the originals? He's like, I like the originals. He's like, and you haven't even seen the new ones? Like, I haven't seen the new ones. Like, why not? He's like, I don't know. I like Kurt. See him. They're good. And now, if you like them, see them.
Especially the way this movie kind of ties into the original Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Yes, it is interesting. As a matter of fact, it's not necessarily a spoiler because we all know where the Planet of the Apes movies are going anyway.
Yeah, we know.
But to say that if they were to continue this trilogy, if they were to make a fourth movie, the fourth movie could essentially be a straight up remake of the original Planet of the Apes.
And it would make perfect sense.
Yeah, it would line up right. It would just be like, you know, like 20 years later, 30 years later, whatever.
No.
Charlton Heston. CG Charlton Heston. Oh my God. If they do that, I'm going to stab someone in the neck with this pen.
You just put it into the universe, now it's almost guaranteed.
Nah, someone's going
to
find it.
Or was it already floating around in the universe and then just got inside my head? Maybe it's just already written into the code. It's just the code. I'm just spitting out the code.
Number three this week.
It's just a glitch in the Matrix is what's going on. You know we're living in like a fake, right?
Yeah. No, 100%.
Angels on board. Number three. It's a horrible fake reality. And we're feeling all the pain and trauma of reality, which is what makes it so terrible.
Number three this week.
Because it's all for naught.
Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Trick ourselves into thinking it's meaningful.
Made $22 million.
And latch on to things.
$251.7 million.
Just go completely insane.
On a budget of 175.
From the existential crisis that is realizing that none of this matters in any way whatsoever.
Number two this week.
Wait, what was that? What was number three?
Girls Trip
was number three?
$30 million. Total of $30 million on a budget of 19.
Can you check the Rotten Tomato score on Girls Trip? Actually, I would like to see how that's because...
No, Girls Trip's number two, Chris.
What was number three?
You talked through number three.
Yeah. All right. can you look up the Rotten Tomato score on Girls Trip? Because the trailer made me laugh at some points. I wanted to see it. But if it's not well-reviewed, then I'm not going to bother. Like Rough Night, I feel like I kind of got gypped on Rough Night because I saw the trailer.
Oh, it should have been darker.
This looks like a dark, fun, wild ride, like Very Bad Things, but end up being way more like
campy.
Yeah. Goofy.
Girls Trip, 89%.
89%. Hell yeah! Let's go see Girls Trip, dude. What does it say? What's the consensus?
Which one is this one? Is this the one where the stripper dies?
No, that's Rough Night.
Rough Night.
With Scarlett Johansson. This is a disappointing one.
This is Black Ladies Go to New Orleans.
Gotcha.
And Jada Pinkett Smith and her friends. Mm-hmm. I think she's the lead. She's the stuffy one. And they go to New Orleans and they get out. They get crazy.
Critics say Girls Trip is the rare R-rated comedy that pushes boundaries to truly comedic effect and anchors its laughs in compelling characters brought to life by a brilliantly assembled cast.
I'm in. I can't wait. We're going to see Girls
Trip. So
we had
fine.
Rough Night with all the white women. Yeah. We've got Girls Trip with all the sisters.
Yeah. And apparently Girls
I'm waiting
better.
For the Latino one.
Or the Latino one. The Latino one. They're going to be like, we got to sell drugs.
Oh, wait. Actually, they did Latino one. What was it? Hey, Poppy?
Hey, Poppy.
Or something. It was something like that. It had Rosalind Sanchez, Sofia Vergara.
What is this direct-to-video nonsense?
Oh, no, it was out there. They were Or maybe I'm just making all this up in my head.
Maybe it's just the loop of the Matrix thing again. Maybe you're getting information from a parallel Matrix that is just...
Damn it, man.
It's like the Mandela effect type thing. Do you also think Sinbad was in a genie movie in the 90s?
No, I do not.
You don't believe that? Okay.
No.
Do you think Nelson Mandela died in the 70s or 80s? When do you think Nelson Mandela died?
No, Nelson Mandela died recently. No.
Sorry, it's called Chasing Poppy.
Chasing Poppy!
I heard that title. Okay. Drew's on it.
I had to do some digging, but I found it.
Drew is on
Holy
it.
Holy crap, I remembered that.
Okay, so you're in the same Matrix as us then. You're not in the Mandela effect side. Okay, we're good. Bears stay embarrassed, but no, never mind. We're reconfirmed you're good. So Chasing Poppy is unfortunately the lower budget. Less marketed.
And that was from
2003.
2003.
Oh, that's old as fuck. Yeah. So there hasn't been a recent one. Really? With Sofia Vergara?
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Damn.
That's crazy. That's before Modern Family.
Number two this week.
That was number two, Girls Night. So we're going to have to see Girls Night.
Number one this week, Dunkirk.
Here we go.
Dunkirk.
Weekend gross of $50.5 million. Sims total.
This is where we're getting to. Dunkirk. You went and saw Dunkirk at the IMAX Point Orlando.
70 millimeter.
You know what they did that was very smart for the IMAX presentation? I'm saying the Warner Brothers did, and probably this might have been Chris Nolan's idea. Because it's a 50-foot screen, 60-foot screen. It's almost like this... the size of a 4-story building, right? You got to walk down 3 flights of stairs to get down to the lobby. And then you actually got to walk down another flight of stairs to get down to the It's a gigantic screen.
Yeah, level.
And so when it starts out, even when they're showing, the trailers are all in normal width, so it's like, there's still a huge image, but it's huge black bars on the top and the bottom of the screen. It's not filling the whole screen. When Dunkirk starts, you see the Warner Brothers logo, Christopher Nolan's company, Sin copy his logo. Yeah. It's all like the size of all the trailers. It's like normal 35 millimeter looking. And then the first shot of the movie starts. That's in 70 millimeter. And it fills like pretty much the whole screen. And it's like a shot of dudes walking down a street. And the whole sky is filling the screen. And it's like a gigantic image. And it's a good thing it's just a shot of dudes walking down a street with paper falling from the sky. Because for the first 10 seconds, I was just looking at it.
Wow. All right.
Just
yeah.
The image itself is so big. And it's always stunning when it happens because it happens so rarely. The last time I saw an IMAX movie,
Batman, same way.
No, Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
Interstellar.
Yeah.
But Christopher Nolan's movies. Yeah. Only time we even go to that theater is when Christopher Nolan puts out a goddamn movie.
Damn it.
Because he's all using those cameras.
And it's always 70 millimeter, too.
Yeah. And the image is so big and amazing. And like the shots of the beach, like all the dudes lined up down the beach, and then it's just these huge shots, or the flying shots, and the expanse of sky and the ocean, and it's just like, oh my god, you're in the middle of nowhere. It's wild.
One of my favorite shots that they keep going back to in this movie too is the shot of the horizon with just the plume of smoke.
Yeah, in the distance,
everybody's going on their way to Dunkirk.
Yeah, so. all the small boats that are going to Dunkirk, and they're going to.
So it's like horizon. No. It's just like water. It's like all this craziness going on, and then there's this giant war right in front of them.
I wouldn't even be surprised, man. Would that have been real smoke? It could have been.
Dude, as far as I'm concerned, like, I want to know where they got all this antique fucking military equipment that they blew up in the sky.
The ones that they destroyed must have been replicas, but they were, like, they did get real antique planes for
the flying scenes.
What was the budget on this thing?
Does it say? 150?
150? Really? Man.
Yeah, 150.
For a Nolan movie? For a blockbuster movie, that's some good budgeting. But that's what Nolan does, though. I don't think his movies cost more than 150, 175, typically. Man, and so, all right, visually, it's astounding. If you get a seat in the IMAX screen, which is hard to do in America, we are fortunate enough here in Orlando that we get to see awesome things like that. Yes, it's awesome. We took advantage of it. $20 goddamn ticket, plus that Fandango charge that take on that extra dollar. I got some of that bitch. $21. But for me, I feel like it was worth it, because not only does it look amazing, but it's like a good
story.
Good story. Tight movie. It's three stories. It's the story of the men on the beach were following like a small, one or two guys.
Yeah.
And it's over the span of a week.
Okay.
Really, it felt like a couple of days.
So felt like 3 days.
It only felt like two or three days. So we might have caught up with them like towards the end of the week, right?
Gotcha.
But they're intercut into the story. So it's the dudes on the beach over that week.
Yep.
Kenneth Branagh's out there with the Navy. Joe Fiennes out there. I think it was Joe Fiennes, right? With the Army. Is the other guy.
I think it was the other guy. I don't think it was the Fiennes.
That wasn't the Joseph Fiennes?
No. No.
It was some other ones? That was someone else?
Yes.
There's so many British actors. So this is the one with Harry Styles.
Right.
They meet up with Harry Styles at some point, and they're following him around. And these guys are just like, we want to get off this beach, and we can't. What about that boat? Oh, that boat got torpedoed. Back to the beach. We're going to do this. We got to do that, right? The second story takes place over the course of an hour, and it's three British planes.
Day.
That's the day?
Because it's the week that's on land.
Weekday hour.
Yeah, weekday hour. Week is on land. Day is on the sea. Hour is... Because the day
planes.
Is...
Yeah, so planes is on the sea, hour.
And then planes is the hour.
So the planes, three planes, it's in the hour. Tom Hardy's one of them. They're flying around, and they get called, like, hey, guys got to go to Dunkirk for some aerial support. And they're like, all right, let's go. So it's the three of them taking out planes, right? And then the other one is the one that's on the sea, Mark Rylance, Sir Mike Rylance. It's him and his son and a friend. And they get on a boat because all the boats are being commandeered by the Navy. And they're just like, well, fuck the Navy. We're going to be our own captain. So they're like, we'll just go ourselves. And they get off before the Navy can take them. But still to do the job. So it's those three stories and they intercut. And at the end, they all meet up at the end. And it's just a well-made, brilliant movie. It's Christopher Nolan. What do you would expect from Christopher Nolan making a war movie?
I'll definitely check it out then.
Yeah, I can't even think of any. Would you even have any?
Is it heavy?
Yes and no.
Yeah,
because it's a war. It's
got obviously.
It's still a war movie. It's still. I mean,
yeah.
Because it is history, obviously you know what happens.
Understood. Yeah,
but it also intertwines these very personal stories. So you know you. Don't necessarily know what happens.
You don't know who's going to live, who's going to die necessarily, because some people are going to live.
Oh, yeah, they all die. Yeah, a lot of people die.
Man, when that first, they're on the, when the dude, he gets to the beach for the first time, and he, like, joins a line, and then he either for the first time the planes are coming, and in the IMAX theater, the sound is so loud that it was like, it was kind of ear-piercing how loud they made the dive bombers come by. Like, all right, Chris Nolan, I get it. It was loud as fuck. You don't have to, like, deafen me as I'm watching your movie.
My favorite was when the giant groups of people, one guy would see the plane, and then you would see two more heads turn, and then 800 heads turn.
Yeah, and they all turn, at the same time, like, oh shit, and then they duck down. But the first time, like, the dive bombers hit the beach, and and people start blowing up and shit. You're just like, fuck. And that sets a tone for the movie. It's like the whole movie is just like tense. Like things can happen at any time. A German plane can come at any moment and just like just start dropping bombs or machine gunning people. And you're like, what is... You're out in the open on the beach. This was a colossal fuck up. What a cock up. That's what they would have called it. This is a cock up of epic proportions. Allied forces.
I believe they even called it that.
They probably even did it. Point. So, approve.
Oh, I mean, seriously, I thought I was done with World War II movies.
Me too.
I thought I'd seen them all, seen every story.
There was no story left.
Yeah, there was no story left.
I always think I'm done with them.
Goddamn fucking Chris Nolan does something like this.
Dunkirk.
Asshole.
That happened with the tank movie with Fury, and that happened now with Dunkirk. I keep seeing these World War. I'm like, I'm done with World War II. Here's another one. I'm like, goddamn. I'm going to watch it. Goddamn it, it's good. Yeah. Son of a bitch. Dunkirk, people, check it out. All right, here we go. What are we doing? Oh, new movies. We're doing new movies coming out on DVD. The Boss Baby. Gotta see that Boss Baby. Yeah. Have you seen Baby Driver yet?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to tell you this. In regards to Baby Driver, I've shared the story already a couple times, but I saw that movie twice in 3 days.
Nice.
I bought the soundtrack. I did a digital download of the soundtrack, ordered the soundtrack on vinyl.
Yes.
And I've already paid for my Blu-ray DVD as soon as it comes out.
Awesome.
That's how much I love that movie.
It's a fantastic fucking movie, man. It's so good. They use the T-Rex so brilliantly in there. T-Rex is on the soundtrack, though, I've noticed, right? Yeah, Trex.
Yeah.
Right, which is, I guess, some rights issues here and there. You can use it in the movie, but you can't use it on their soundtrack. Yeah.
It's funny you should say that because this is how obsessed I am with that movie. Mm-hmm. I've also made a companion playlist of music that was used either in promotion of the movie or in other parts of it, and that's where I grabbed that song. Another song that it's a cover of Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide that they used in the promo of the movie.
Yeah.
But that version of that song is not in the soundtrack.
That's true. That's right. Yeah,
but they used it in one of the trailers.
Well, it was an awesome cover of that song. Yeah. That was a great trailer they cut for that.
Yeah.
And they only used that one. They never made another one. I think very smart as a matter of fact.
So yeah, that as of right now, like for me personally, 2017, that is my
That's
pick.
Your movie? That's your movie to beat?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
there you go.
I was fascinated with it in the sense of, again, like you're saying with World War II stories, I always find it awesome when a director tells an ingenious way to tell a love story.
Yeah.
Because there's no way around it.
It's a love story.
It's a love story.
It is what it is.
But it's got the cool car thing, mm-hmm. and then you got a heavy guy that you're not, a heavy character, and you're not really sure whether you like him or not until he does this one thing.
That one thing.
And then you're like, oh!
Yeah. Jamie Foxx is so good.
This was the other part.
He's vicious. He's
scary. I hated him.
Yeah, that's a
this
thing.
Is the first time that's how you, I hate.
That's how you know you did a good job.
I hated him. I was so mad at him. I was like, fuck you, Jamie Foxx.
Like, you are fucking everything up.
You
greedy sociopath asshole. Yes.
Oh, but, and I was thinking, like, it's like, he usually doesn't play those kind of roles where you actually hate him.
Yeah, he doesn't play the villain, the bad
guy.
Yeah,
and he did it so well.
He's good, man. Jimmy Fox is good.
He can be.
When given the right material.
Decisions. It's all about decisions.
Yeah. He's played some pretty awful villains, actually. case in point. Case in point, Electro.
All about that.
Boom.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 helped kill Sony's attempt at a Spider-Man reboot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that.
Shit was
I was like, blocked that in.
A lot of people blocked that out.
For us, it was going from Ray to right here to Baby Driver. I thought there didn't happen. Electro, hello. Electro.
Guys, Electro.
Waving his hands in the air.
Holy smokes.
Oh, man, that's so true. So anyway, Baby Driver. Boss Baby. I had nothing to say about that, so that's why I had to ask you. Ghost of the Shell comes out on DVD, which is, it's an okay.
Did you guys see this one?
I saw it.
I was curious about it, and I would... I tr- treated it like if I've had the opportunity to see it, I would have gone and seen it in the movie theater. It just never went that way. Sure. I'll probably catch it now that it's going to be on.
If you like Ghost in the Shell, just watch the anime again. It's better.
Really? That's what I'm saying.
The anime is for sure a better movie, 100%. Okay. The anime is a simplified version of the manga to help it make it more palatable for people. Even then, it's like, woof.
Yeah.
This movie is a simplified version of the manga, which gets you, like Drew just said, he's let the word slip, it gets you to the level of dumb. In some ways,
right.
It's okay. Visually, it's
gorgeous.
Really cool to look at. It's gorgeous, and I would recommend watching just for production design alone.
And
for individual scenes, moments, bits throughout the movie. I was like, oh, I like that. Oh, this is cool.
I mean, world building, that whole Neo Tokyo is fucking crazy.
I was never bored when I saw it,
right?
So that's a big thing for me.
Okay,
just don't bore me with your movie. That's why I kind of it for many movies I've. What could be considered a low bar. Don't bore me. If you bore me, I hate you. So it never bored me. And
fair enough.
But it is so simplified to the point of like, like you're not making the connections because now it's too dumb.
Gotcha.
So it's for sure like low expectations going to it. Watch it. It's like, that's how I always feel. It's like, I enjoyed the marketing more than I enjoyed the movie. Like the marketing was cool and mysterious. And then the movie came out. I was like, Scarlett Johansson's fine, I guess. You know, I like her.
She's all right.
She's in stuff. She's been in movies. That's our thing on DVD. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
An inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power.
Okay. So I've heard a couple people espouse this notion recently, separately, which surprised me. And I didn't get it at first. Now I understand it. They were saying they would go to see a movie that's like a comedy or something, and then they would play a trailer for a horror film, and it's like the trailer, they cut it scary to try to get you scared, and then they'd be pissed off, like, God damn, I'm here to see a comedy. Why are you showing me something scary? I'm being held hostage by this trailer, by this horror trailer, right? I understand how those people feel now when I go to see a movie. It's happened a couple times. I'm sitting down, I've seen a couple trailers, right? I like trailers, whatever, marketing. And then before the movie starts... Fucking
Al Gore, I told you so.
Not even that. It begins with footage of Donald Trump yapping his fat orange mouth some bullshit. The trailer's designed to make you angry. I'm like, I'm already angry. I'm here to get away from specifically this.
Yeah.
And now you're going to show me Donald Trump for over a course of 2 minutes. It makes me so mad that despite the message and what they're trying to do, and I hope that in the end we defeat climate change, we defeat that evil climate change monster and send it back to the climate change pit that it came from so we can make the world just like it was back in 1994. What's the sweet spot? 98. EPA sweet spot. We can revert it back to that time, right? That's how climate change works. And then I want this movie to fail. Fail to fuck. Fuck them. Fuck Al Gore. Fuck all the marketers for making me see that guy. I'm going to see Guardians of the Galaxy. You're showing me goddamn Donald Trump. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, I got you.
Who else is coming out?
The Emoji Movie.
Oh, not that. I can get on for that. I'm down for the Emoji Movie. T.J. Miller. Did we mention T.J. Miller?
T.J. Miller, James Corden, Anna Faris, Maya Rudolph.
There you go. It's obviously a movie about being who you can be, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
And it's only 86 minutes long.
Oh, even better. That's the one thing. That's the one thing they get right.
Quick viewing.
The one thing they get
and
right.
And last but certainly not least, Atomic Blonde.
Here we go. Charlize Theron. As
female John Wick.
As a female John Wick.
Yes, female John Wick.
She's John Wick. Although now, have you seen the trailer with Taraji P. Henson, that movie?
I have.
She's female John Wick too?
Yeah.
Now we got two female John
Wicks. I also
But this one's actually directed by one of the guys who co-directed the first John Wick.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I saw some behind-the-scenes footage of Charlize Theron doing all of her own action stunts.
Yeah.
So she's pulling the Keanu Reeves move.
Yeah.
Where
actually, they trained together.
So there we go.
Oh, did they really?
They actually did the three-gun shoot training and all that kind of the guy that Keanu trains with trained her, and they were training at the same time.
So when do we get Atomic Wick?
Crossover movie.
When do we get it?
Well, this movie,
when do we get it?
This movie's set in the 80s. John Wick movies appear to be contemporary.
That's fine.
So if they met up, they'd have to age up her character. She'd be like a 60-year-old. They just have Helen Mirren play her character in the meetup. And then they have flashback scenes.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
Actually, we could get Helen Mirren as the character from Fast and the Furious.
That's fine.
I want to know more about her.
She's gonna be in the next one for sure. She's angling to drive a car. She's like, I want to drive a car. But she uses that crazy Cockney accent for that movie. Yeah. This one is interesting because John Wick was directed by two people. Those two people then split off after making John Wick, and they're both part of Keanu Reeves' stunt team. That's why Charlize Theron is using the same person. That makes sense. The first guy who made John Wick, he made John Wick 2. The other guy made this.
Was it amicable?
Yeah, it's amicable. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. It's just like, oh, well, let's just split up. And there's more work for now for both of us. Like, we don't have to keep working together. And it's working because this guy got to do John Wick 2, and he's going to be working on John Wick 3. So he's got his own franchise. The guy who broke off did Atomic Blonde, and his next movie he's currently working on now is Deadpool 2, which is a hell of a
right on. Okay,
so now imagine the fun of Deadpool and how awesome and
with
refreshing
the
that character is.
Of Atomic Blonde.
With the action
and John Wick.
Yes, with like.
Real
actual
action.
Awesome style and action as opposed to the first movie, which was pretty standard generic, you know, directing. Yeah. No knock against that Tim Miller fellow, but he's not a director. He's an animator, and it's you can tell in the movie is kind of static. Atomic Blonde looks like fun.
Yeah.
You know, like John Wick 2 was fun. John Wick was fun. So
I'm really fascinated with this in recent years with these movies where the gunplay, it's almost a martial art.
They got more realistic.
Yeah, the gun woo kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's like he's like almost punching people in the head as he shoots them with the gun.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I mean, that's what drew me into the to John Wick. And then you've seen that pop up in more in recent movies. Yeah. Maybe it's these two guys.
I think it's also because John Wick did get popular and people like it. And also The Raid, too. On a lower level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Popular, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's just...
When is that thing ever going to see the light of day?
The American version. It's happening, yeah.
It's been like in the oven
for a couple of years now with Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
Who's my... That guy's my Punisher. That's coming. But I think it's so popular that we're going to see more movies now that are going to quote ape the action style of a John Wick type movie, which is fine by me, because then you're just copying the best.
Yeah.
As opposed to for years we've been getting this copy Michael Bay, which is Michael Bay is the best at that. You guys, you're just shaking a camera and hyper editing. It's not working. Drew, you know what time it is, man. You know what time it is, Drew?
I do.
Where is that? Here it is right there. God, the buttons are small on this thing, man. We should get a bigger one. Cheap.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, Dr. Drew, take it away with this week's prescription for life. Doctor, what do we need?
So I've always wanted to ask this question, Chris. Why'd you keep the part where it says "and Bridget Fonda"?
Because it's funny.
It is. It is. I've always wanted to know that. It's kind of weird.
Why Bridget Fonda?
Okay. Yeah,
because it's funny.
Yeah, that's it. I've always wanted to know.
Just
wanted
to know. I got your answer. Do you feel better?
I do. I do. All right. Doctor's out.
That's too funny.
All right. Well, there you go. Doctor's out. There you go. Let's take a break, guys. Crestwood Disco time. I grabbed a song from the Dunkirk soundtrack. Big reason the movie is so tense is the music. Hans Zimmer. It's all... It's all like that. So I'm going to play one song from there. It's called Impulse. It's good stuff. And then we'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Angel. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go.
soldiers. Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
You're a-
That's right, we are back with episode 237 of Cinema Crest Police. I'm chilling with Drew Sakagra and Angel Rivera, guys. How you doing? We're doing good.
Hell yeah. Today was a good day.
Yeah, it's working out well, man. It's a good day. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero 419, all over said interwebs.
Boom! Angel, where can people find you online?
It's Official Angel, all social media platforms, and follow the Facebook page, What the Hell's Angel Listening To?
Yes. How's the radio show going, man? What the Hell is Angel Listening To?
It's been fun, man. It's a...
It's cool. You know, it's technically, it's a spinoff of SBK Live.
Huge.
That's like Cinema Crest Beniso. So it's a spinoff show, man.
Absolutely.
That's how we roll. That's really
keep,
cool.
Keep that out there. And, you know, it's definitely a nod to Kevin. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
People love your taste, man, because you got great taste. And I see it online. Every Friday, I see people post on Facebook. I know when Angel's show is on.
Good.
Because I saw it online. And people are like, tune in, you know, what the hell is Angel listening to? And I'm like, you know what? I don't got to tune in because I know it's dope. Yeah. I don't got to judge. I know what's going on. He's a man. Have you heard? I'm going to do this to you now because people do this to me with movies.
Here we go.
Okay. I already know what he's going to ask you, too.
Because I've shown you.
Because you already asked me.
And, you, and did you know?
No, I didn't.
And are you glad that I told you about it?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to admit it. He doesn't want to admit it, but he's glad. I'm doing what you do, what people do to me with movies. I'm doing music, and so far, pretty much every single time. Aside from, I think, the Black Queen. I sent you one thing. Like, I haven't heard this. It's like, cool. You always heard about this. Have you been listening to Vince Staples?
Yes. I like Vince a lot. I like that kid. What I like about it is that in... You got to go hunt for it. The good music, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I've said this before. Don't let what outside of my radio show, but don't let radio dictate what's good and not good.
Yeah, you know? Which is what's super cool about your show because it's real radio. It's a talk station, so they're loose with the format. Yeah. They allow you to take. They're that slot. Like, no, I'm going to play music that's like you would have to hear on a college radio station.
Yeah, definitely.
Or you got to seek it out.
Seek it out like that. And so, and that with a cat like Vince, where, you know, he's gotten some radio play and everything, but go and check out his art, check out the album because it's, there's a lot more there to him than what you hear.
It's interesting. Yeah. Some of the stuff that's on some of his older stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I like that kid a lot.
I got into it because I listened to this very popular podcast called Who Charted, and they talk about new music every week. And it was like a late show, late chart, and they just played, here's a song that was homage off of his latest album. And they just started playing that. I was like, what the hell is this?
Right.
This sounds like really interesting.
No, I like him.
Just your run-of-the-mill shit. And it's because I read up a little bit about him. It's because he seeks out his favorite, like, European dance producers to make his music instead of hip-hop producers.
So when you got guys like that in any genre, but when you got someone that's seeking to push the boundaries of that genre, that's something that attracts a guy like myself.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And anyone out there is complaining about Lil Yachty and the mumble stuff, which I like that stuff, actually. So if people want to hate on it, they can hate on it, but I like it. If the kids say it's cool, then it's cool, all right?
That's what I tell people when they go in on that kind of music is, like, listen, that music is not for us. It's not for me.
It's for the kids.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Or the strip club. If you go to the strip club, you want to hear Lil Yachty.
I want to hear some Kyle. I want to hear all that stuff, man. So it's easy to freestyle that way, too, because there's a big gaps in there, you know?
What are we talking about?
Like mumble rap, you know?
Oh, okay.
It's like a...
I mean, we're talking about strip clubs. You said big gaps.
Yeah, big gaps in strip clubs. Oh, yeah, the big gaps in strip clubs. No, I was talking about...
Hand in hand.
It's like, man, you don't know me. I'm from Carcona, Okoe. It's like so easy to like pull them together because you got that whole like
space in there.
Yeah. Vince Staples, man. I like Vince Staples. Yeah, it's good stuff. What else, Angel? Listening to people listen to that show, and you're on some radio show.
I'm on the Monsters in the Morning.
Oh, yeah. Monsters.
Catch me there Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 11, and they're with the guys doing my thing.
There you go.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, they're paying you. You're showing up early in the morning. Might as well promote it. Let people know you're there. You want to talk any trash about anyone on that show? Or you want to talk some this some shit? Or,
no.
I'm just checking, just asking. No, I just figured, you know, I put it out there and ask. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. The show's at Crespo Diso. Facebook Cinema Crespo Diso. The Cinema Crespo Diso Facebook group request to join it because it's fun. We will add you. It's closed just to keep out all the spammers. The spammers still try to get in. I still get requests from the spammers to join, and I look at the profile and I click on it and I go through the timeline. I'm like, you're a spammer. I know I can sign. I'm sniffing you out. No, decline. So guys, sign up. It's a lot of fun. We're posting on there every day. It's good stuff. This is what I wanted to mention too. In the first half, I decided to save it for the second half. I was going to mention last week, but I totally forgot to do it. The Orlando Weekly Awards are out, everyone. Hey, Orlando Weekly Awards. All right. Hey.
You're more popular and get more downloads than most of the podcasts on there we've never been on.
Nah, you know what, guys? It's cool. I've talked to some people. I've talked to some very specific people who have won some awards, first, second place, and it's so funny. They're like, it doesn't move the needle at all. It doesn't change a thing.
All you gotta do is throw the Orlando Weekly a little bit of cash so you can get that plaque.
What the Orlando Weekly was, they do it for the cash and the clicks and the people grabbing the paper and the promotion. It's so self-serving on the Orlando Weekly's part. Am I gonna spend the next couple of minutes bashing the Orlando Weekly? Yes, I am. do I care about how this positions me as a new media network in town?
No
I do not, because I'm all about the truths. The truths. All right.
Tell the truths, Chris. Tell the truths.
I've been talking the truths about how I feel about the Orlando Weekly for years. It's a rag. You know how you know it's a rag? Check out the last couple of pages of the Weekly and look at the ads. What are the ads for? That's how you know it's a rag. It's all sex sells. Who's buying perverts and jerkos, right? I don't know where I'm going with that one. If they got to give it away for free, like that weekly newspaper, are they giving you a service, or are they trying to, you know, sell some sex ads? What's going on? It's a weird thing they have going over there with the Orlando Weekly. And then they're doing this fucking weekly readers poll that they do every year, and people get so thirsty. They put out they sponsored ads on Facebook. Now Facebook is making money because you're like, vote for me for my thing for best of whatever. And like, it doesn't change anything. First off, when it comes to podcasts, Tom and Dan is, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, they're the big dogs in a small town. I was trying to mix my metaphors. They're a big dog in a small pond is what they are. And they're killing it. And what? Everyone's fighting for second place. The real first place is the second place for the podcast. And it's like, who are some of the shows that are nominated? Like, who are you? Because all that being said, you should vote for Scotch and Good Conversation for Best Podcast in Orlando, because they're actually nominated, and they're a PFT Radio Network affiliate now. So they're our homies. We love Scotch and Good Conversation. Network. Vote for them for the that whack-ass Best Podcast. They actually came in second. Pete came in second last year. So good for him. His show is great. And you know he's stumbling for it, and so I'm gonna shit on the Orlando Weekly, and I'm gonna call all those people thirsty. But at the same time, I'm gonna pull a Trump double standard and be like, "But he's cool. He's my boy. Pete's my boy. He can do whatever he wants." So good for him. Vote for them. Oh, you gotta be nominated for like DJ or something, right? Come on.
I think so.
You don't even know. That's the attitude. that's a blasé attitude we're looking for.
Because the last time that I was on there, I was kind of I was kind of embarrassed because I know a lot of the DJs that are on that list.
Yeah.
And I think, and I look to up, I look up to all those guys.
You don't consider yourself the best DJ in town.
No, now I was like, when you got BMF and on a list, I will always defer to him.
Right.
I know him personally, and he's a guy that I look up to, and as far as when it comes to doing turntablism and things of that nature.
Yeah.
That's a guy that I still learn from.
And which isn't to say that you're not confident in your taste of music.
No.
Or your ability to throw a party and get everything moving.
No, I could move a crowd, but I can also, you know, recognize, you know what I mean?
That there are other people that are better. Other people do it better. It happens. That being said, Cinema Crespo Diso is Florida's number one movie podcast. That is for sure. 100%. No doubt about that. vote for not Angel. Then who should we vote for best DJ for Orlando?
Oh no, vote for me.
Vote for Angel. So vote for Angel for best DJ. If he's nominated, he's not sure if he is. If he is, great.
I'll double check. But I'll find out.
He'll find out. check out the social media for Angel's new sponsored post on Twitter to vote for him.
No, I won't do that though.
Yeah. Oh, but no, for real though, everyone, for best local hotshot, vote for Fast Food Jesus, aka Alex from BYOCB, because that truly proves that nothing means nothing. That it's a bunch of bullshit. It is a bunch of bullshit. I've talked to multiple people who have won, and it's just like, just so the Orlando Weekend can get money, so they can fill up that party. It's a networking thing, so they can sell ads, and then they hit you up. When you're nominated, they hit you up. Have they hit you up yet? Do you want to buy an ad? Would you like to buy an ad on our next issue to tell people about your nomination and to vote for you, et cetera, et cetera? Like, no, Orlando Weekly, I would not like to give you monies for this bullshit that you came up with. Orlando Weeklies, fuck you guys. So that was my Orlando Weekly rant.
Gotcha.
Also,
why don't you tell us how you really feel, Chris?
I'm telling how I really feel. Also, I've been saying this for years too, before I even realized there was a poll or a podcast or I had anything to like even be in. Like, oh, I have something that would be voted for. Like, even before I knew all that, I was shitting on the Weekly. I'm just saying, I'm an OG OW. I'm an OG OW shitter, is what I do. All right. I'm not a recent OW shitter who's only shit on it because of they didn't like the turnout of recent Orlando Weekly polls, if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I've been shit on it since the beginning. Angel, this is me.
A lot of shit.
Angel, this is me in 2017. This is what I'm doing now. This is I've stopped giving a fuck. You should listen to episode 87. So you're on episode 85 of this is how What's the Fuss works out, fellow PFT show. Episode 84 is me. 85 is you.
Right.
86 is Fast Food Jesus. 87, which just came out, is me.
Okay.
We did a double header. You did a double?
Yeah.
So the next week, 88 will be...
It should be you, the second,
will,
yeah.
You. It will be your second one. Yeah. And then the one after that will be Alex again.
Absolutely.
So people, check those out. Oh, shit. Interrupted my thought.
As always.
True Chicago and Burst World. I was just going to say, people, check out the latest episode 87. 84 was fun, but 87 is the one where I go hard and I just shit on everyone. I shit on podcast listeners. I think that's the one where I talk about, for some reason, Rocky was like, if you could bomb any city, or not just bomb it like terrorist style, like get you on FBI watch lists, but if you could like just wipe it off the planet, like which city do you not like pretty much? And I spent like 10 minutes talking about how much I hated Boston, Philadelphia, Tampa. I was just shitting on everything because I don't give a fuck no more.
Fuck these cities.
I don't give a fuck no more. What's the point?
Everybody in those cities.
What is the point? Guys, True Chicago versus the World. Angel, you remember how this goes. This hasn't really changed. You are going up head-to-head against True Chicago in some movie trivia.
All right,
Drew, this year, you are 10-10 after last week's loss. So you're at 500. Let's see. Matt Nakananzo losing record, Angel. And you know what? This
week... So just a quick refresher. You asked us a question, and whoever blurts out the answer first?
Absolutely not. The way... The way it's going to work is I have two groups of five, A and B. Since Drew lost, winner takes out the ball first. You got to go first. You pick group A or group B, and then we go through your five, okay? This week's game is a hard one, too. Fuck you guys. This week's game is hard. It's called, and it's in honor of Pedro Lima and Dan Perella's new show, The Devil's in the Details, on PFT Radio. This game is called The Devil's in the Details. I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me who played the devil.
Oh, shit. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Hard. Damn it, man.
Hard.
This well, yeah,
hard.
Especially because in some movies, you know, the devil is, like, voiced by some guy and it was uncredited. And you don't even know that it was him.
Oh, we'll see if it gets that deep, that complicated. Here we go. So, Angel, I have two groups of A or B. Choose wisely.
Let's go with A.
A, here we go. I'll tell you the movie. You tell me the actor or actress who played the devil. Number one, Legend.
Ah, shit. Legend... the devil is played by, and it's a fantastic devil.
Probably my favorite one.
Oh, maybe he looks so the mask great. Is yeah.
Awesome.
The horns, and maybe my favorite one.
Shit.
One so of. Over the top.
And that's why I don't know who's behind the mask.
I don't. but Cruise is in that movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Cruise one. Directed by Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott, I'm going to say the devil is played by, is it a, like A-list actor?
Well, now you're fishing for.
Yeah, 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 I really am. A-list actor. I I know this is wrong. I'm just going to say Bruce Willis.
Oh, incorrect. It is Tim Curry.
I would have never.
No, never. He would never got that.
He was Pennywise. He was Dr. Franken, whatever.
I would have never gotten that.
Yeah. Right? Now the devil. And
but that is the best devil, right?
Yeah, so, good. Yeah. So good. So good. Number two, Bedazzled.
Bedazzled. Oh, it's the hot chick.
Oh,
my, yeah. Ah! She's beautiful. English. Drew.
Yes.
Drew knows
you're
it.
Right. Now, and
you reminded Drew when
you had to say English.
Ah!
When you said English, I was like, yes, I know it.
I had a
doesn't help you, though.
Crush on her. Still, like right now, she still looks good.
Yeah, she does.
She used to date the dude that got in trouble with the hooker.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
You're good at describing this guy.
Oh, or the chick. Guy, oh, she's beautiful. I can't remember her name. Bedazzled, and because it's got Brendan Fraser in the movie.
Yes, yeah. You're dancing all around it, man. You're all around it.
I'm thinking Helen Mirren.
Oh, that's so funny. Elizabeth Hurley.
Elizabeth!
Who does still look fantastic.
Oh, she's
fantastic.
Number still have
three,
a crush on her.
Angel Heart.
Angel Heart is...
Drew's like
De Niro.
De Niro's correct. Drew's looking like those are, you know, you haven't seen Angel Heart with Mickey Rourke and Lisa Bonet. That's the one that got Lisa Bonet in trouble with the
because she got all kinds of naked,
all kinds of naked. She
like naked, naked, like sucks naked,
cutting up chickens and spraying the blood on herself. It was crazy. Number four, Little Nicky. You guys forgot that movie even existed. Does Drew know it? Little Nicky. The faces you both simultaneously made when I said that name. You're just like.
I remember. I can't believe I remember, but I remember.
You're like, that movie exists.
Little Nicky.
Little Nicky. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Little Nicky.
Adam
yeah.
Sandler movie.
That is correct. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Adam Sandler. Yeah. This is not a clue. I'm just doing Macho Man. Yeah.
Adam Sandler and the devil is played by another comic?
Again, fishing. We're not, fishing.
I know.
You're thinking out loud. All right, that's fine. That's fine. You know, from this angle, you kind of look like Aquaman. It's kind of funny. Where you're looking down like that.
Oh, dang it, man. I don't even think I've ever seen this movie. Woody Harrelson.
Oh.
It was Ozzy.
Was it Ozzy?
No.
It wasn't Ozzy?
It was Harvey Keitel.
What? Oh, hell no. I wouldn't have got that.
Are you sure it wasn't Ozzy?
Yeah, Harvey Keitel is dead. Number five, Winter's Tale.
Yet.
Remember this one?
No.
I even tell you which one it was. Well, it's the one with Colin Farrell.
Oh, I only know this because you talked about it.
It's such a
about
bad,
how weird it was.
It's such a weird bad movie. Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell winner.
And Jennifer Connelly.
You're not going to get it.
British actor?
You're not
going to
get it.
Nah.
I guess just name someone. Just name someone random.
Name somebody random.
Harrison Ford.
No.
No, it was Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Will Smith played the devil?
Exactly.
In that movie, in a cameo when he's talking to Russell Crowe, and Russell Crowe is playing some sort of like demon guy.
But that's a pretty fantastic cast. Just the guys that you're saying.
It's such a weird, bizarre movie. Check out the movie. It's such a failure.
What's the name of the movie?
Winter's Tale.
Winter's Tale.
It's a failure.
Never seen
proportions.
It.
It's fascinating to watch.
I would. Yeah, you're right. I would have.
And it takes place over a span of like 100 years.
You could have told me, hey, guess Will Smith, and I still would have said no.
No.
But
like when you first see him, it's like the 1800s, but he's still all contemporary, wearing like a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt and has an earring. It is weird.
I've never even seen it. He just talked about it a lot. It's the reason why I know about it.
It's so weird.
One for five. Oof.
No, two for five.
Oh, two for five.
No, one for five.
One for five. One.
Shit.
I should have got like a quarter of a point for Elizabeth Hurley.
Because you knew everything about her except for her name.
You were describing her eye color. All right, Drew, here we go. Number one, Last Days in the Desert. This is a tough one. I said it was tough. I said these are tough. Last Days in the Desert.
Val Kilmer.
No, Ewan McGregor. That's a movie in which Ewan McGregor plays both Jesus and the devil. It's actually a movie in which Ewan McGregor, Jesus goes out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, the fast.
Right.
Oh, that's the one where somebody cut that movie. Somebody cut an Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer out of that movie.
Based out of that movie. Yeah. Which is really funny. So it's not very good.
All right.
It's disappointing. Number two. And it's also another white Jesus. Like, we really need a white Jesus?
No.
Number two.
White Jesus.
White Jesus. The Devil's Advocate. Angel
yes.
knows it.
Yes.
No, so do I. And I'm really angry that I'm blanking.
That your brain farting on the name?
Yeah.
He's having a
I'm fighting the urge to give you a hint.
Don't.
I know. I almost did by accident.
Yeah, no,
And he's having an Elizabeth Hurley moment.
Yeah, I am. I'm totally having an Elizabeth Hurley moment.
That's so funny.
Robert De Niro and. So, Keanu Reeves, Charlie Theron. Fucking Scarface, for Christ's sake! What the hell is his name?
Wow. That's incredible. Are any posters with him?
I just need to find his name! Why can't I think of his name right now? The more I say it, the worse it gets, too.
Oh, it
this
does.
Is fucking stupid.
That's exactly what happened when I was doing that. I tried to think of Liz for Liz Hurley.
It's
quicksand.
This is fucking stupid.
I was going to say, the harder you fight, but I end up saying, the farther you hide. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Al Pacino. Thank you, God.
Oh, man.
Wow. Man. Took me. I can't.
That's a stinger.
Dude.
Man. But I know exactly.
We dragged that one out for you.
What
too.
The hell?
But well, we knew you knew it.
That is so messed up that I couldn't think of his name.
All right, you're tied at one. Here we go. Number three. End of Days.
Fuck.
Remember that one? Remember that movie, Angel?
I'm
being pretty loose with this one with
that,
the movie description.
What is that bland white guy's name? Fuck.
You may be thinking of a different movie, actually.
He's got dark hair. He looks like a couple other actors.
Who's his co-star? Who's the star of the movie?
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's a Schwarzenegger movie.
I've seen the fucking movie. I used to have the soundtrack when I was a kid. It was awful. Limp Bizkit was on it. Korn was on it. It was bad.
I don't know this movie.
New metal.
You haven't seen this one?
I don't think
it's like a weird action horror movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's pretty much Schwarzenegger's one horror movie.
That takes place in New York City. He's like a disgruntled old alcoholic cop. I don't know the guy's name. Whatever the fuck. Go ahead.
No, but can you describe the movie? I want to hear you describe the movie, though.
He's an old beat-up cop. He ends up having to be somebody's bodyguard for some reason.
I don't remember this at all.
It's from, 99.
And out of nowhere, there's, an explosion somewhere or something, and he ends up seeing this guy and gets... He just goes down the fucking rabbit hole and ends up finding out that he's the devil, and he has to start fucking fighting demons in this fucking weird, apocalypse
Holy
prophecy.
Holy crap, dude!
He's burning churches and fucking all sorts of crazy nonsense.
Schwarzenegger, at one point, he's hung crucifixion style.
Yes!
In a
left dude!
What
it
the
is,
fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, and people discover him, they're walking down the street, and they look over him, and he's hanging up there all knocked
it's
out and shit.
It's a weird fucking movie. I saw it in theaters.
It's also not good, but...
No, it is not.
It is a wild, weird movie.
It is wild as shit.
To introduce the devil, so there's a guy, he's sitting at a table in a restaurant. This game has gotten derailed, but it's fine. And you are, so incorrect.
Yeah.
The guy is playing the devil. He's sitting there with, his boss, and his boss's hot young wife. And, I don't even know how it starts, but, the devil, the evil entity is, flying through the air, and it hits him, and it infects him. He's like, oh, and he gets up, and he walks into the bathroom, and he's like, oh, shit, or something like that, right? And then he comes out of the bathroom, infected, I'm the devil, right? And he just walks up back to the table where he was sitting, and he walks up to the dude's wife. He pulls her titty out of her dress, and, just grabs her titty and kisses her, and then she's, into it, and then the guy's like, what the fuck? And then he walks out of the restaurant, and it explodes behind him as he leaves.
Holy
crap!
What's his name?
Gabriel Byrne.
There we go.
It's the Irish actor Gabriel Byrne.
Bland white guy.
Holy
crap. He's a bland white guy, but he's fantastic. It's Usual Suspects. Ostensibly the lead in Usual Suspects. He's also Miller's Crossing.
Boom. I was about to say Miller's Crossing.
He's the lead in Miller's Crossing, which is one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. All right, so it's Gabriel Byrne. Number four. Here we go. Constantine.
Fuck! It's that guy. I know who he is. I don't know his fucking name. I don't know his name.
You don't even know his name? Straight up, you don't know his name?
I sort of don't know his name.
You don't want to dance around this one again, too?
No, I straight up don't know his name.
Peter Stormare.
Yes.
His name is Peter Stormare.
I know who he is, though.
Oh, Constantine's such a good movie.
It's a fun movie.
It's fun. It's not good. It's fun.
I would need to rewatch it. I only saw it in theaters. I feel like I want to.
I've seen it a couple times. It's fun.
It was on Netflix a few months ago.
I really like it because
was it?
Yeah,
because Rachel Weisz is in it.
Yep.
Yeah,
Tilda Swinton plays fucking Gabriel.
Yeah, and Peter Stormare.
Peter Stormare is the fucking devil.
He's great. And finally, number five, The Prophecy. The original, The Prophecy, because they made a few sequels. Glenn Danzig's in the third one, I think. Which is wild. As Michael or Gabriel or something.
No, I don't fucking know.
Viggo Mortensen.
Really?
Yes, Viggo. Viggo. Viggo was in The Prophecy.
So
which...
we were both 1 for 5.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
hey, good job, bro.
Nice.
We don't know shit about our doubles.
No.
There you go. You got a piece of paper. You got a piece of paper. You got a pen. Drew's your pen around there somewhere.
I got a marker.
You got a marker. All right, here we go. We're doing a tiebreaker. Closest to the pin. It doesn't matter. Well, I guess closest to the pin without going. No, what we're going to do? Let's see. Yeah. Okay.
What's the right rules?
Closest to the pin. Close to the pin. Doesn't matter if you go over or not. There are 8 Harry Potter movies, okay? All right?
Okay.
Yeah. How many of those 8 movies grossed over $1 billion worldwide at the box office? So there are 8 Harry Potter movies. How many of them grossed over $1 billion at the worldwide box office? We are doing closest to the pin. Drew has his answer locked in.
Why is this so difficult?
Well, it's 1-3. Or 0-3, I guess, technically. All right, Angel's answer is in. Angel wrote 3. Drew wrote 3. We are tied again. Our second double tiebreaker ever. This
how many movies did it?
1.
Only the last one?
The very last
one. I thought the last two did.
Only the very last one. So here we go. I need to find another tiebreaker. All right, guys. Tiebreaker number 2. Double tiebreaker.
Battle of the Dimwits.
This has only happened one other time. All right, here we go. As per Box Office Mojo, how many movies has Owen Wilson appeared in? Closest to the pin. Here we go, guys. Owen Wilson, prolific actor. How many movies has he been in as per Box Office Mojo? This double tiebreaker brought to you by Orange Blossom Brewing. It is delicious. Get on it. Oh my god, you guys almost tied again. That's
close. That would have been fucking insane.
That is super close. So you got the blue pen?
Yeah.
I'm
Angel said Owen Wilson has been in 33 movies.
Ah! Fuck!
Drew said he has been in 36 movies. That was so close, guys. The answer, Owen Wilson has been in 47. Ah! Drew is correct. Well done, Drew.
Nice work.
What a fucking, oh my goodness. That was a nail biter.
And out of 47 movies, he's only made 3 that are good.
Seven.
Bottle Rocket.
I love Bottle. Any Wes Anderson one.
Which Wes Anderson movies has he been in?
Bottle Rocket. He co-wrote Rushmore. That doesn't count. He was in the Darjeeling Limited. That's probably the worst one of them all. He was in Moonrise Kingdom? I believe so. Maybe.
I think his best work was in Armageddon.
His best work or his best movie? those are different things. Yeah. You can say that's his best work, that's for sure. Steve Buscemi's best work. No, Steve Buscemi's best work was in Con Air. Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
I wore her head through 8 states.
Him? Yeah. And Danny Trejo was like, I like to rape women. Yeah. You're a woman, I'm going to rape you now. It's like, oh, great characterization there for the one Latino character. This is good stuff. Where were we at? Fuck the Orlando Weekly. We did that. But vote for Scotch and Good Conversation.
Butt vote for them.
Butt vote for them. Yes. Guys, make sure you butt vote for them. Was there anything else? Okay, stickers. Email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com for stickers. We'll send you some. And all right, we watched a bunch of Comic-Con trailers that came out. Let's talk about these trailers. Ready Player One.
Man,
that looks wild.
So you guys were more familiar with that. I did not read the book.
Well, as a person who hasn't read the book, what's your impression of it?
I'm blown away by it. Like, it instantly, coming and talking to you guys, mm-hmm. I as soon as I leave here, get home, going to go to Amazon and order the book.
Yeah. Seriously, you know, it is.
Because it looks
really good.
Really good.
And especially, I think you'll have a little bit more of an appreciation for it, only because you're just a little bit older than us.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So more the 80s stuff.
Exactly.
I got you. Yeah.
So, like, because
you see some of that in the trailer.
Because I was born in the 80s. Right. I was born in 83. I didn't really grow up in the 80s, per se. So, I mean, there's a lot of 90s pop culture and stuff in there, too, but there's definitely a lot of more of the 80s stuff that obviously I'm familiar with it.
Right.
But not as familiar with it as I probably should be.
Sure.
Looks good.
I think that I think you'll have that extra appreciation for the nostalgia, or maybe it'll be so on the nose, you'll be like, oh, this is too much, because
it is super about
the nostalgia of the time, and just direct
How
references.
Old is this book? Was this like a huge
years.
Hit?
A big hit, what? I think back in 2011, 2012.
Man.
Yeah, it made a really big splash.
In nerd culture.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crossover hit, enough so that it got a big budget
right.
Movie adaptation.
Yeah, I mean, you got Steven Spielberg. Spielberg doing it.
Spielberg is directing it. A very interesting choice. I'm very excited about that. And but it also because of the 80s stuff, Japanese pop culture was big in the 80s.
Anime.
What's the one? The Giant Man? Was that the name of the... Anyway, a lot of that stuff plays into it, too. This is very interesting what they pull from. And the book is
I great. Definitely, like, off the strength of the trailer, I am, like, it's definitely... in my must-see movies when it comes out. Because I, and like we were talking about earlier, I definitely want to make sure I see this film in the movie theater.
The best screen possible, presentation possible.
Because visually, just on your television, it looked... And you know it looked good, and I was like, "Okay, this is gonna look really cool."
So awesome. Exactly. Yeah. We're watching it on a 55-inch screen over here, so imagine watching it on a 20-foot screen.
Exactly.
You know, so if you go see it on IMAX theater, you know it's gonna be like 35-foot tall image on that 50-foot screen. You have the options. What separates us. This is what separates us from the beast, from the animals, being able to choose our theatrical setting. Ready Player One looks great. I'm looking forward to it. The Justice League 4-minute trailer. That's a lot of footage to drop.
And it's interesting to see this. What success does. Uh-huh. I'm curious. I mean, obviously, we had the other trailer with Justice League.
Yep.
But off the strength of Wonder Woman and what she's done, what that film has done. You got a lot of her.
Yes, they focus on her.
And it seems, in my impression of this, if this is going to succeed, you're going to need a lot of her.
You know, about her, but also what they're hoping is the Flash is going to break out, Cyborg is going to break out, so they can have their own movies because they reverse engineered their solo films. Right. They put together the team up, and then they're trying to do the branch offs. It worked for Wonder Woman. It worked for Wonder Woman.
DC World,
I'm letting you know this.
Uh-oh.
Cyborg,
yeah,
it's going to crash and burn.
You think so?
Nobody.
Cyborg is mega popular with the kids, with the younger generation. They push that in all the cartoons and stuff.
The cartoon, yes.
Yeah.
This is Zack Snyder's adult dark version, of Cyborg.
But I'm talking about when the Cyborg movie comes out, which is they're probably aiming for 2020, 2022. That window there.
I expect a
Green Lantern movie.
I don't think the Cyborg character is going to be popular enough to warrant its own movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's. I mean, just asking in the DC world how big of a
that's what I'm saying for us our generation
not us
for us Cyborg's not a popular character at all but it is Cyborg is like a leader of like the young Avengers character
Teen Titans
essentially Teen Titans there you go I was gonna say Super Friends is actually the word I was looking for because that's what it's a Super Friends movie. It's a Super Friends movie we all always wanted and he's very popular with the kids with the youths and the youths know the truths. And they say that the mumblecore rap is cool, so it's cool. And they say Cyborg is the man, so he's the man. But now, is it going to warrant a movie? Now, that's a whole other thing entirely.
Here's something else, Chris. So, as these Justice League trailers have been coming out, we've been seeing more and more of the story, and the this, and the that, and the other. And it's really starting to feel like a giant cluster.
Oh, no. Much like Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Just Ice, it looks like the biggest clusterfuck of a movie.
It looks like
it looks like a mess.
It looks like they are trying to both introduce characters...
But continue a story.
Continue a story, introduce characters, give me some prequels, maybe some origins, along with... The death of and rebirth of a famous character, plus the team has to get together, plus we have to give a shit about Wonder Woman more now, plus we have to other movies.
No, the Wonder Woman work is done. Now you need to start giving a shit about Flash and Aquaman and
Cyborg. So now we have to start launching all these other movies.
Three characters.
While bringing Superman back to life, and still making Batman and Wonder Woman cool.
You know what, at least...
Man, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
And there's some giant demon with multiple axes?
Yeah, that was weird. Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. That's him.
Steppenwolf. That's the big villain that they're set up for this one to lead the way for Darkseid.
So we're gonna have an awful 80s metal band is gonna come out.
We are.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be so bad.
It does look like it's gonna be a mess of a movie, but you know what? Opening day, I'm there. I'm there. I'm gonna see it. It's a report back to see what's going on. What if it's good, Drew? What if it's good?
I have to watch it so I can shit on it properly.
That's true. That's my philosophy. You do gotta watch it to shit on it properly. And what if it's good? What if they make it work?
It's not.
What if it's just bad marketing?
No, it's not good.
Even bad marketing. It's just that because they're not really good. What it is. Even with a 4-minute trailer,
it's not good.
They barely told you a story.
They can give me
because they don't have one.
Is that what it is? Maybe that's what it is.
I mean,
that's a bad sign.
They've put out good trailers for bad movies. And they've put out good trailers for good movies.
That's true.
This is a bad trailer.
That's true. Man. All right. Well, we're going to find out in November. November, in which Justice League, it's going to be embarrassing when they end up making less money with Justice League than Thor Ragnarok, which also comes out in November.
And I guess that's the whole, what it comes down to, right? You see what Marvel does.
Yeah.
You see what they're doing with the DC. And like, DC, how does DC get it so wrong all the time?
Why? It's because it's amazing. It's because they saw what Marvel did.
And they tried to catch up.
Well, yeah. Exactly. They're playing catch up. And instead of
doing their own thing.
Exactly. And that's what's bringing them down. They're copycatting.
Because this Thor movie looks,
fucking awesome!
It's so much fun.
And obviously it fits in the whole Marvel universe.
Yeah,
you can see where this is setting things up. Absolutely. But it was really neat because you get to see Thor kind of...
Well, they'll say...
Ham it up a little, like...
Yeah, well, yeah, because they tap into the comedic aspect of Thor that they've been doing since the first movie when he's like, I like this drink. What is it with the coffee? Yeah. Like, and he smashes the mug. That was my favorite part of that first Thor movie. Yeah. They're keying in on that.
Well, no, exactly. And, you know, with the way the Marvel's doing things, because they've been so successful with it and they continue to be successful, they can... In this Thor movie, you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell a succinct... tight story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, imagine that.
Okay. No, they are going to tell a succinct, tight story while they both reference things that they've already done and set up future things for future movies.
Exactly.
But it's going to be done well.
Because they've been doing it now successfully for 14 movies?
I think so. And we still got how many more? Another 14?
As far as they're concerned, ad infinitum.
Yeah. I mean, everybody continues to be hyped for the next Marvel movie.
Think about this in this regard, right? So... Even when they did have missteps with character movies, movies for these characters on the way.
Sure, Thor and Thor 2 and...
I'm talking about the Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
This is our third Hulk.
Yeah.
And in the process of going through this whole universe and setting this up, they've made missteps with it. But they were able to correct course and give us the Hulk that we've been wanting. Yeah. And then seeing this dynamic between the Hulk and Thor, that's like... It's,
yeah. They allow himself that opportunity to self-correct, absolutely, because, a lot of people forget the Incredible Hulk.
We've had
directed by Louis Leterrier, starring Ed Norton, is technically the first movie of the MCU, the official, people go back to Iron Man, but they didn't have those plans for Iron Man. They made Iron Man, and then when they finished Iron Man, they're like, what if we tried to make more of these and connected them? So then the Incredible Hulk, all right, let's start with this one and try to connect it. That's the first one that had a bonus scene and all that shit. And yes, in the long run, especially when you compare it to the other ones, it is a weak movie. There was a lot of stuff with Ed Norton where he was trying to take a lot of creative control. He wanted to make a movie that was very much about... sad, lonely Banner trying to suppress the Hulkness.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with the Hulk character. That's why you can't make a Hulk movie, like standalone Hulk movie, because the essence of the Hulk character, his conflict, is that if I Hulk out, things get damaged.
Yeah.
I rip my pants.
I can't control him.
I can't control him. No. You know, I gotta go buy new shirts. It's really annoying. So I gotta actively keep the Hulk from coming out. We as audience members are like, Hulk out. Hulk out.
You can't do that for an hour or a 90-minute movie. You know what I mean?
Because the end of The Incredible Hulk is a 20-minute CG battle between Hulk and Abomination. Yeah. Tim Roth's Hulk-like character. And by the end of that 20 minutes, I'm like, thank God, this is over.
Yeah. This works in the way that they've been able to repurpose him and bring him into the... include him in the storyline.
Yes.
It totally works because we get the Hulk that we want.
Yes, we got our Hulk, we got our Banner.
Yeah.
But then we've seen a little bit of it, the playful banter between the two of them. Human form and like Hulk form, right? Man,
that's pretty deep.
That's a Taika Waititi, man.
And there was enough little teasers there in this trailer, lets us know what's going on with the future.
Hela, the goddess of death.
Yeah, exactly. We finally get her name, so we know who she is now. Now we know who Thanos is trying to bang this whole time.
Because Thanos is all about falling in love with death and trying to impress death.
Yeah.
And hopefully, who knows? Sometime this week, that Infinity War trailer should pop on.
The leaked one came out.
So once the leaked footage comes out, Disney's want to get ahead of that. We also watched the going to Netflix. Stranger Things 2 looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Looks like so much fun.
One of the most ingenious uses of a pop song.
The Thriller.
The way that that song sneaks into the trailer.
And the great thing is, too, they didn't even use the fucking hook of the song. They used the goddamn intro that you don't even hear half the time.
Yeah, sure.
That's so true.
They did that. Yeah. I was, oh, man, I'm looking... again, continue a great story, and we get and there was characters that we care about. Yes, you know what I mean. We're vested in these kids.
Yeah, and they're back, and I love the kids. Everyone loves them. The casting did a great job finding these kids, and but then when he sees the vision of like the giant old god Cthulhu tentacle thing in the clouds, I'm like, yes, this
is so yeah.
That is right up my alley, man. That's the shit that I want to see.
It's like Halloween.
Is it? Yes. Yeah, Halloween. Yep. Yeah, good timing. Good job, guys. I will binge the shit out of those. Probably 8 episodes. I think they do short seasons. The first one was only 8.
It was 8. Yeah,
which is pretty smart.
So pick a Saturday and
exactly pick a Saturday and crush it.
Maybe that Saturday.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm gonna have to work my PFT like recording schedule now around I have to have a binge day, guys. Sorry, we need to record everything on Friday.
I need 8 hours of Stranger Things.
This is how this is going to work.
That looks so good, though.
And then come out in December, a Netflix original production. $90 million budget. I know for a fact that's what it was greenlit at. Will Smith's Bright, which looks weird.
Dude, it looks like... I mean, the guy who does these movies.
David Ayer.
Yes. It looks like his cop movies.
It looks like End of Watch, but with creatures in it.
Exactly. End of Watch in like the world of
Lord of the Rings.
Or Lord of the Rings. Or, you know.
It's bizarre, right?
It's such a weird mashup.
It almost looks like, Hellboy's going to come down and like help out or something. It's like, what the fuck? Right.
It's like that type of, it's weird.
It's a different, it's his world that he's created, and but it's a definitely different view of Los Angeles.
Almost, LAPD. Yeah. I thought it was NYPD, but it's LAPD.
It's LAPD.
Makes sense. All his movies are LAPD.
It almost reminded me of Nocturne Dozer.
Oh, fucking Night Watch. Yes, Night Watch. But Night Watch is good, though.
Yeah, Night Watch was good.
And Bright, I don't know. Like, it's an interesting trailer, but I don't know if it's going to be good.
I'm really curious. Oh, okay.
I'm
going to watch it. And with your the extra information that you gave me about it, I didn't realize this. So Netflix picks this up, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to debut. And the trailer and everything is like a Hollywood movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The way that they cut it and everything.
We were talking off mic. Yeah. How at the end of the trailer, it says Bright, the album coming soon.
Again, what Netflix is doing is how they're changing the game. We had Stranger Things, and then after the success of it and how instantly it became popular, the soundtrack came out afterwards, and they put it. Whereas with this movie, and I guess because you have Will Smith and you have $90 million, and they're
doing like as if this movie was coming out in 3,000 theaters.
Yeah, it's also going to come with a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it's the first time of this at this scale. Netflix is the only one really doing it. Amazon has produced a couple movies. Well, I don't think Amazon's actually produced any movies. I think they've bought some for distribution.
Gotcha.
This may be one of Netflix's first actual, like, we put up the money to make it. Like, this is our $90 million that you use to pay Will Smith, to pay the actors, pay yourself, pay the cameraman.
I am intrigued by it.
I wonder where the album concept came in. Did that come in at the Netflix boardroom? Did that come in with the one of the co-producers of the movie? Is that a Will Smith idea? Is Will Smith like, I know people, we can make this into a whole album? But for Bright, for a movie about LAPD cops who also work with like orcs
and fairies? And fairies, like that first scene.
Yeah, that first scene. I was like, he's like, he smashes a fairy to death, and then he's like, yo, you gangsta guys keep being gangsta. I'm trying to sell my house. That was a weird.
The way that it started. So maybe, and it's like it's a cop buddy movie.
Yes.
There's that element.
It's a traditional buddy movie where it's like they don't get along, but you know, by the end, they're like, I got your back.
Yeah.
I got your back.
You can tell can tell the transition there.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. Man, it looks weird as shit. They put all that up. Those are all the trailers that we watch. Let's segue from that right into, because that's all we're talking about, new things that are coming out. So let's talk about some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that was weird to see. It's button twice.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach spots during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, Cinema Crespediso movie news segment brought to you by What's the Fuss Podcast on the PFT Radio Network. This is when we talk about Angel, all the hottest celebrity divorces, the most scandalous beach bods, and of course, most importantly,
what's up with the
Biebs? What's up with the Biebs, Angel? We need a Justin Bieber update. What's up with the Biebs? Do you know?
Just recently? I don't know.
No? Do you know?
No, I don't. No? I don't know what he's done recently.
All right, there you go.
Biebs is missing.
Biebs is missing. Official words
update. Biebs is missing.
According he made it through a weekend without getting in trouble.
Oh, fair enough.
There we go.
Okay, that, good for him.
That makes sense. I dig that. All right, well, here we go. Movie news real quick. Because we talked about... Yeah, I told you the show. It's the same, but it's different.
It's weird.
It changes over time.
Yeah, man.
We watched that Ready Player One trailer. Now, for people who read the book like Drew and I, a big part of... And what is interesting about the trailer, it doesn't give you even...
A hint of the storyline. Of the story. Which is awesome.
And it's a good story.
It's really good.
I will tell that the basic setup of the story is that there is a big game, like one big game that everyone is playing. So there are puzzles that the lead character you're following has to do all these puzzles. Steven Spielberg, let's see, is this actually him talking? Actually, no, this is Mark Rylance, who's in the movie.
Right.
He worked with him on the BFG. Have you showed the BFG to your kid, little Bambi?
We like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one for because it's Spielberg. Yeah. And it's got a lot of fart jokes and stuff, so it's good for kids. Yeah. Yeah. This is Mark Rylance, who also worked in this movie. He said the book has a lot of puzzles and keys that the characters have to figure out. Remember the key in the trailer? Literal key. And Steven has introduced new puzzles and keys so that the people who read the book will still not know how it's going to work out. It's a marvelous story with twists and turns and many thrilling moments. Nice. I tried to get a little Mark Rylance there at the end.
Cool.
So they're changing some things up, which I think is a very smart
That's good.
Idea. So you can read the book.
I mean, as long as...
You get the idea of what the story is, and things necessarily won't be spoiled for you when you see the movie.
Nice. Yeah, as long as the same bases and tones are there.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
And the same feels.
Yeah.
I really don't care what puzzles they have to solve.
It's all about the. It's just. It adds a layer of mystery, intrigue to people who read it that, okay, at least I don't know. Like, there's a whole thing about the joust scheme.
Yeah,
We don't have to watch. We know we're not going to watch guys playing joust for 10 minutes. They're going to do something else. Probably Galaga. I don't know.
Or maybe they'll actually be on the ostriches.
Oh, find a different way to do it.
Actually jousting.
You know what? Also, watching trailer, when the trailer started, I was immediately struck with Minority Report. Because it's Spielberg.
Kind of.
And the look of it.
You can see
the CG look of it.
Okay.
I was like, oh, it's like the shots of the cities, the future cities, the Minority Report.
It was very AI, too.
Very AI as well. Yes. Spielberg has a style, man.
He does.
He's got a style. Disney World. They're changing up one of their rides. And the ride that they're changing, it's over at Tomorrowland. My favorite section of the Magic Kingdom is Tomorrowland.
Okay.
What an awful movie.
A terrible movie. A shockingly terrible movie. Disappointingly terrible. The Tomorrowland Speedway that they have over there, it's gone. Boom. Nixed. No longer. Finito. 86. X. Chopped. Do you guys even know the ride I'm talking about?
No.
Speedway ride?
Don't care.
Nah. Well, it's gone. And it's being replaced with the American version of the Tron Light Cycle Power Run ride that is huge over at Shanghai Disney.
Right on.
It's like their most popular ride. People love it. It's essentially like a roller coaster type thing, but it's with Tron style. So it's all the colors and the lights and everything looks super cool. But Tron Legacy Tron, so it's like very, very neon-y and cool looking. So we'll be getting a Tron ride over at Disney. So you guys, we can drop like $150, $170. By the time it comes out, a ticket to get in the Magic Kingdom is like $200. So you get in there, wait in line for about 4 hours, and then you get on that Tron ride. That's going to be about 90 seconds. And then you can spend $10 on a burger, $12 on a burger. By then, $15 on a burger.
And $10.
Them $10 waters, them good waters. There's a... fuck it. These stories suck. Okay, let's do the segment of the people.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous...
Vox Populi. Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right, it's the Vox Populi time. You can email us, cinemacrespedisto@gmail.com, or hit us up in our Cinema Crespedisto Facebook page, Facebook group page, and we will read your shit on the show. Drew, take it away.
We got an email from our homeboy, Ron.
What's up, Ron?
We saw Valerian.
Yes.
It was visually stunning in 3D. The story paced very well, and I understood it, but it seemed to lack something that Fifth Element gave me a ton of.
Oh, okay.
I think that it was the acting. The leading man.
Oh, that's what you want. You want the acting to be good.
The leading man, Dane, he just doesn't do anything for me. I guess he was the reason the water movie from last winter
failed the water to enrapture movie that
A Cure for Wellness.
Yes,
that movie sucked.
Uh-huh.
Not his fault, Ron. The movie just stunk.
The chick and even Rihanna seemed cool to me, but the intrigue and action of this movie failed to make this a great movie from a good movie due to the lead. The boyfriend hated the two leads for letting the bus full of soldiers die, but I still say that is debatable and a horrible reason to hate the movie. I blame his communist upbringing. Anyway, what out of San Diego Comic-Con got you guys excited? Me, the new Thor trailer, and new and the new Nicktoon eyebrow Hey Arnold movie. What? I sure that captured the immensely imaginative, iridescent Drew Shemin's childhood. What was y'all's favorite Nicktoons?
Our favorite Nicktoons? Man, so many things.
I mean, I was a big fan of Rocko's Modern Life.
That's why you're a big fan of that. For Nicktoons.
Nickelodeon cartoons. Rocko's Modern Life was awesome. It was way ahead of its time.
Were you watching it? No, I think you're age of the Nicktoons.
It was smart.
We're talking like 90s cartoons.
And it was set in O-Town, where I currently live.
No, that's funny. That's funny too. Ren and Stimpy is Nicktoon, right?
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy.
I'll count that as a Nicktoon.
Yeah, sure. It was. That was part of that same lineup.
All right, there you go.
Back in the day,
Ren and Stimpy.
It was that. Our Real Monsters, Rugrats.
Real Monsters didn't like that. Rugrats was cool. I watched some Rugrats. Doug. Yeah.
The Angry Beavers, which was fucking amazing.
Yeah, you love that Angry Beavers. You watched it. You were watching that in college.
I was.
Man, child.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, dude,
Ron had something else in there.
The final episode, they have an existential breakdown because they got the cancellation notice.
They realize they're living in the Matrix.
No, they realize they're living in a cartoon and that their show has been canceled and that they are never coming back.
Holy crap!
So they're basically
a heavy cartoon.
Exactly. They're basically dying.
I want to watch just that.
It's crazy.
I want to watch that.
It's nuts.
I can identify it with that kind of.
Extreme
anxiety at the thought of nothingness. Mm-hmm. I can identify with, yes. Which Drew finds hysterical.
I do. Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to nothingness.
Yeah,
because it's not. But are you looking forward to what? There's nothing.
Yes, I know.
So how can you
that's
enjoy?
What's
it?
So great about it?
How can you enjoy it then?
There's nothing.
Exactly.
There is no enjoyment.
That's
there is
the worst.
No. There is no not. It can't be worse. It doesn't exist anymore.
So then it's the best.
Exact. Yes.
No, it's the worst.
It's nothing, Chris.
I'm so confused.
It is neither of those things.
Nothing.
It is nothing. And in that, and because you know that there is nothing afterwards, that's what makes the now so much more better.
Right, but what if the now means nothing because it's all fake? It's a virtual reality.
Well, I mean, yes.
So we're living in a now that is
correct.
Meaningless.
Yes.
But yeah. we're yes. experiencing all this pain and suffering yes. that means nothing.
Correct.
And then the game just gets shut off.
Yes.
And then there is nothing.
Yes. Is it wonderful?
That's a triple dinger right there.
This is horrible.
Isn't that wonderful?
This is terrible.
Sounds like no. I think that's great.
Everyone vote for me for best life advice guru at the Orlando Weekly Awards. I will guide you through to something better. Man, talk about midlife crisis. And also, it's 70 isn't much of a. That's a young. It's kind of youngish. Considering modern medicine. Actually, if I make it to 70, considering life, family history, I'm actually going to call that one a win. I feel like there's another question there, Ron. I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. Let's move on to the next one.
We got...
Ron, you're the man.
We got some interaction from Cremella.
Cremella on the Facebook.
Yep.
What does he got?
Since we're on show topics, what film have you been most pleasantly surprised by, and what film has disappointed you the most?
Interesting. I'll tell you right now, my go-to for a disappointing movie, the one that I built up a lot for myself, and then when I saw it, I was like, oh, why is this bad? The third El Mariachi Desperado movie, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, with Antonio Banderas, Johnny Depp, Robert Rodriguez movie.
Yeah.
I saw that trailer a bunch of times. I'm a huge fan of Desperado and El Mariachi. I love those movies.
Right.
And I saw that trailer a bunch of times. I was like, this looks amazing. I can't wait. And then the movie came out. I was like, oh. I'm sitting there in the theater like, why is this? Why am I not enjoying this? I'm actively trying to enjoy it, and it's terrible. And then I remember going home and put it on the TV. And then the commercial for the movie comes on. I look at the commercial. I'm like, that movie looks good. How come I didn't see that movie? What did I go see? What is this? So I have a go-to, like, biggest disappointment. That's one for sure. A more recent one, Sucker Punch was a bit of a disappointment.
Man, talk about a film with so much potential.
Yeah, the trailers were
those
amazing.
Those trailers were so freaking cool.
There's so much going on. Like, if they can make this work, and they couldn't make it.
That's one. Oh, man, that's, you're talking about one that literally sitting in the movie theater going, I chose poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
But then again,
no, we were sold the bill of goods is what it was. No, we got gypped by good marketing.
Fuck that.
Plus the marketing was good.
No, that's not what it was. You know what it is? That was finally Zack Snyder showing his true form.
Is it though?
Name a movie since that that has been all the way through good.
I like Man of Steel. A lot of people,
all the way through.
Yeah, I like Man of Steel.
All the way through.
Yeah, what do you not like about Man of Steel?
I don't like the beginning.
The part on Krypton?
That's the best part. That is the greatest thing that Zack Snyder has probably ever done.
Oh, you only like that part.
It's the only part
I
like.
Thought you said you don't like
that
part.
No, I love that part. Everything else is garbage.
Oh, no, see, that's what I'm saying. I like Man of Steel, but I wouldn't argue for it because I know other people don't like it. No. So I'm not going to be like, oh, it's unequivocally great. I'm not talking about Jaws here. So, I'm like, if you don't like Jaws, there's something wrong with you.
In all reality, the only good movie that man has made is 300.
No, Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, but that wasn't so Zack Snyder-y.
Because it was written by James Gunn.
You see, there we go.
It's a James Gunn script directed by Zack Snyder. So it's actually a great...
Which one is that?
That's the one in the mall. Remake with Sarah Polley. They all go to the mall. And they're fast in the beginning, but as rigor mortis sets in, they get slower.
Who else is in that cast?
The dude from Modern Family, Ty Burrell, the tall guy. The guy who was the dad in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the slower neighbor guy.
Okay.
It's a weird low-rent cast. Sarah Polley's the lead. It's a straight-up remake of the George Romero. Dead. Rest in peace, George Romero.
Yeah,
we don't normally do rest in pieces on this show because we get morbid enough. We don't have to talk about people dying every goddamn week. Rest in peace, Martin Landau.
And Watchmen. Watchmen.
Watchmen, yes, thank you, Drew. We got five Watchmen posters in this fucking studio.
Sorry. Watchmen was great.
I think Watchmen's a great adaptation. Batman versus
Batman versus Superman.
No, I don't like Batman versus Superman. I tried rewatching it too, and I just like
Justice League is gonna be
it.
Garbage. Man of Steel,
we don't know that yet. Justice League could be great.
I'm telling you, garbage.
Yeah, it's probably
Watchmen, awesome. Sucker Punch, garbage. 300 was good. Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead.
Actually,
so he's like hitting 500.
The Legend of Guardians, the Owls of Gahool.
Yes, that's a fun movie.
Awesome.
Have you shown the Bambina that one?
No.
Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahool.
It is. That movie is freaking epic.
It's a really cool movie.
There are armored owls. There's a giant owl.
I think
war.
I remember those promos. I remember those commercials. Okay.
It's insane.
There's this whole sequence in which, and I remember seeing this in 3D because it was animated and it's Zack Snyder. So I can see it. And there's a whole sequence where one owl teaches another one how to fly through a rain into the wind and stuff. And the way you see the wind circling through the rain and they catch like the gusts and stuff. I was like, this is really cool.
All right, I'll definitely check it out. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll put that on the list.
That's a fun one for sure. So he bats around 500.
All right.
Is what's going on. I think the bigger the budget he gets, the more slack he gets, the worse it goes.
Yeah.
Going back to the premise of the question, though, one that we talked about off mic that was a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
Nice Guys.
Yes. For people who don't know, that one stuck up on
people. For people who don't know Shane Black.
Yeah, because it's got...
There you go.
I knew the movie was going to be good.
Yeah.
I saw Gosling. I saw Crow. And, I saw Shane Black. And I'm like, where's Christmas? Let's do this.
Yes, exactly. Christmas comes up at the very, very end. I was like, oh, thank God they snuck some Christmas in here. Ever see Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Val Kilmer and Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Not Robert De Niro. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
Same guy.
Okay.
If you even watch those two movies back to back, you could be like, you could transpose the two sets of actors, Crow and Gosling and Kilmer and Down. It's almost like the same two characters.
Almost is.
Essentially. I would love to see a crossover movie. Kiss Nice Guys.
I love me some Fat Val.
Nice Bang Bang. He lost a little bit of weight for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He's gained a little He's lost weight recently. He's back to being thin. He had that cancer scare. So he's gotten back onto a health kick. And now he's going around the country doing some sort of cinema twain presentation.
He was doing Mark Twain. I don't know. I didn't speak with anyone who actually went to it, but he was here at the Improv.
Which I kind of wanted to go because it's Val Kilmer. It's about Mark Twain.
No, like he's playing Mark Twain. He is Mark Twain.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, I know.
And he calls it Cinema Twain.
Yeah.
He's a weirdo. Val Kilmer is a straight up weirdo.
Bizarre.
He also has a bursa sac in his elbow, so like the skin is like hanging down there. It looks really weird. You can
really see that elbow in Heat.
You can actually. Yeah.
There's a scene where he's carrying out the explosives, and
I thought
I was like, wow, they really went the extra mile for the makeup and everything. No. And they come to find out, no, that's just really his elbow.
That's his burst of sack, which is, you know, Val Kilmer. Shout out to Val Kilmer, the best movie version of the Saints ever.
Yeah.
Was there another? No, that's a TV show, right? TV show, yeah. Okay, good. I want that statement to be true.
Him and Elizabeth Shue.
Okay, so there you go. Nice guys. We got a good one, and Once Upon a Time in Mexico is a bad one. So there we go. Let's move on. What do we got?
That's it for the
box five. That means it's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
These are great clips, man.
Oh, thank you. All right, here we go. Cut that one off there. It's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Billy D's our New York City horror film aficionado, senior correspondent, and also he will be providing video content for the PFT network.
Nice.
We are setting up our YouTube channel. His series will be the first one. I'm not going to say the name of it yet. It's a cool name, but I don't think he wants to really suggest it. He's still working on the fine-tuning that first episode, but people keep an eye out for video content from Billy D. It's going to be great. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
This week kicks off the dog days of my summer, where I said yes to a ton of things, and now I have to go do them. Yesterday, I saw Dunkirk in 70mm at the Alamo.
Yeah, D did it too. Yay!
And with no time to process, it walked 10 meters down Flatbush Avenue, then see Iron Maiden at Barclays.
He went and saw Iron Maiden after he saw Dunkirk?
I was still shaking from Dunkirk when I arrived at the stadium to rock.
That's what happens when you get a...
That's a lot going on there.
When you live in Brooklyn, you got to go to the Alamo to see Dunkirk and then walk down the street to see Iron Maiden at the Barclays. Yeah.
Why would you not?
Hey, taking advantage of it. Good for you, Billy.
Dunkirk is a must-see in the biggest and loudest theater you can find.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
I can only compare it to the opening of Saving Private Ryan and its depiction of the chaos and desperation of war.
Yeah, the horrors of it.
I've long been saying, if you're going to do World War II, you have to fucking bring it. And holy cow, has it been rotten. This film was chaotic and terrifying, the cinematic equivalent of a Dillinger Escape Plan set.
Nice.
And just like a DEP set, there are moments of sublime beauty where everything comes together in frisson, including simulation overload.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderfully shot, colored, and acted, Dunkirk is a new type of war film, and that is something I never thought I'd say. Nolan's masterpiece is here. It's called Dunkirk, and you should rush out if you have 90 minutes. No, and you should rush out to have your 90-minute panic attack. Stay cool, Billy D.
90 minutes. It's a 2-hour movie, so that shows you how good the movie is. Yeah. Billy thought it was a 90-minute film. It's 2 hours long, and it is a 2 hours like... Oh my
it's
God.
Tense.
The whole time. It's like a ticking clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there are little breaks here and there where you can catch your breath, but it's a tense movie. And he echoed a lot of things that we said. We're on the same page. That's why Billy D is our homie. We're all kin. We're kin. Speaking of kin, makes me think of the word quartet. That's Stephen King stuff. You looking forward to that Dark Tower?
Yes, I am. I've bought into it, and it's like we were talking earlier.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what's going on, because you started reading the books. Which is very cool. It's going to give you an extra perspective on the movie, because this is very weird, and it only really ultimately makes sense when you read the whole series, okay? But it's 7 books.
Okay.
I recommend them all. They're all varying qualities of good to great. The first 4... The way it happened, he wrote the first 4, and then he got hit by that van.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? And he almost died.
Right.
And he stopped writing for a while, and then he was recovering, and then he panicked that he would die before he finished the series, so that he cranked out books 5, 6, and 7. So it has a weird rushed quality to the last three books.
Yeah. Okay.
And like book 5 is also kind of him getting his feet back under him. So it's the weakest of the 7, but 6 and 7 are very cool. Anyway, when you read all 7 books, you'll see that this movie is actually a sequel to the book series, but it's also going back to the beginning. It's both.
Okay.
It's weird. And it's really hard to explain without going into absolute detail about the storyline, but it's starting the story over, but it's a new telling of the story. So that way they can get away with changing things and adapting things and changing up the story. So don't expect a faithful adaptation of what you're reading.
Okay.
Expect it to be different because it's a sequel. And they've been upfront about this. Even Stephen King tweeted something helping to promote the movie, being like, oh, it's a sequel to what's going on as opposed to...
Nice, okay.
Yeah, it's very cool. Stuff. Man, I love that.
And it's cool that when the author's behind it and he's on board with
it,
he is
100% on board. Yeah.
That helps, right?
It does help. Although, to be fair, maybe the best Stephen King adaptations he publicly disowns, and those are The Shining and what's the other one?
Oh, he doesn't like the movie, The Shining?
He hates the original The Shining because Kubrick changed so much of it. And Kubrick is also like kind of dismissive of the book, too.
So they're just a pissing contest.
Yeah,
there.
So it's okay. A bit of a pissing contest there. Yeah. So he's like, fuck that movie, but it's my favorite horror movie of all time. So I love Stephen King.
What's the other one that he...
I'm trying to remember desperately, and I can't think of it. It's not... he did Maximum Overdrive, which then they remade as a TV movie on the USA Network. And they just called it straight up Trucks, which is based on the short story. And they also did a TV version of The Shining, which was terrible.
And The Langoliers.
And The Langoliers.
Which was awful.
But I like it, though, because it has Bronson Pinchot.
Yes, but it also has giant chainsaw mouth meatballs that eat the pats.
Yeah, and they're like, mom, 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 mom. It's so cheesy.
It's so stupid.
Oh, my God. 90s TV level CG. Yes. Oh, my God. It's so bad. I can't remember the other
one. No worries.
There's another one that he shits on. I'm like, but you're wrong about this one, buddy. It's better than your fucking movie. Anyway, okay, so there we go. That was Billy D. He's our homie. Hit him up on all over social media at I Love Blood. Let's land this fucker, what do you say, with the lightning round. Here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers.
I got my questions.
For the lightning round.
A little bit unearthed for you guys. Here we go. Lightning round time. Angel, you remember how this goes. I'm going to give you 10 questions. I need 10 answers. You ready?
Hopefully in a shorter amount of time.
Last time it was a longer. Go!
Record.
Number one. What can you tell me about Fight Club?
Can't talk about it.
Oh, very good. Yes. You passed. Number two. Should we explore our oceans or outer space?
Space.
Number three. What is your essential ice cream sundae topping?
Chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip. We got it. And chocolate chips. Number four. Are themes important?
Yes.
Number five, the best tacos in town are at...
Oh, damn it. that one hurts because I got to pick one.
Yeah.
You got to choose.
What's the first one that came to mind when I said tacos?
The new one that's right there on in Mills, Black Rooster.
Black Rooster Taqueria.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
They're guac.
Really?
It's so fresh.
Really?
It's really, really good.
Man, I had guac at Gringo's Locos. That was so fresh. I had half an avocado still in it. for real. Hunger Street Tacos.
I haven't had that yet. How is it? Yeah?
Okay.
I got to check those out. Okay.
And we'll check out Black Rooster.
Oh, you got
Black Rooster yet?
No. Drive by it every day, though.
Okay, we'll check out Black Rooster.
It's worth it.
You go to Hunger Street. We'll meet up in the middle and we'll compare notes. Number six. Where are all the vampires at?
Miami.
Number seven. Have you ever surfed?
Yeah.
Longboard. Ooh, number eight. Would you jump out of an airplane?
No.
Number nine, magnets. How do they work?
It's magic.
And finally, number 10, bonus lightning round. I'm going to tell you, it's the battle of East versus West. Okay, East versus West. You tell me who wins.
Okay.
I got five here. Number one, 90s hip hop.
Biggie.
Oh, well, so it's so East.
East.
East, oh yeah.
All right, number two, NBA basketball.
Lakers.
West.
We're
going East-West.
Oh, East-West. Okay.
Number three, medicine.
East.
Number four, philosophy.
West.
And finally, number five, I-4.
Oh, man. I'm going to go East.
All those holes are all correct, Angel. 100% correct in the East versus West battle. Swag bag time, Drew, if you don't mind, please. We have three bags here, Angel, that you can take home today. We got the green one, we got the striped one, we got the purple one. Which one do you want to take home?
Let's go purple.
Let's go purple. Drew, break out the purple bag and tell Angel what he made.
I mean, the only question you guys got wrong was the whole 90s hip hop thing. It's West Side all day, bro.
No, East Side, dude.
Tupac till I die.
No, man. Biggie, New York, Hip Hop Array, Wu Tang.
No. California Love.
Nah. I'll fight you on this one.
Dr. Dre, brother.
I'll fight you. Catch these hands.
Big you make it to go home with a Big Sky High Flying Fun Micro Fighter Plane and Launcher.
Nice.
It's spring loaded and probably made out of foam.
Nice.
You got a Grow and Glow Zombie. It grows up to 600% when put in water.
Excellent.
We've got from author Max Allen Collins. It's the first publication anywhere by the author of The Road to Perdition, The Wrong Quarry, a hard case crime novel.
The guy who wrote Road to Perdition is one of his lesser works.
Is it really?
I guess so. Yeah.
We've got a Cinema Crespediso DVD bootleg copy of Rocky Balboa. It's an hour and 42 minutes in Dolby 5.1.
There you go, the barbershop store edition of Rocky Balboa.
You also get to go home with a, let's see here, a 1994-95 FLIR Ultra Jason Kidd rookie card.
Oh, geez, there we go.
What? That thing is worth at least $2.22.
And a whole bunch of stickers.
And a whole bunch of stickers.
Right on.
Cinema Crespediso stickers, CZ Trap House stickers, a whole bunch of stuff in there. Maybe a What's the Fuss sticker in there. Angel,
Trap House.
Angel, you can take all of that home, or we put the bag away. You never see it again. And you say, you take what's in the box that we have right over here. That's right, Angel. What's in the box? We can take... Angel's cracking up. He can't believe what he's seeing. You know what's in the bag.
Yeah.
You know what's in the bag. We put it away. You don't get the stuff, and you take what mystery item is in the box. So what do you want to do? My God.
I'm always a sucker for the unknown.
A lot of people are.
I'm always a sucker for the unknown.
I'll tell you they are. What do you want to do? Bag or box? Bag or box? Bag or box?
I'll do the box.
Oh, here we go. Go ahead and pop the top. Reach in there. Let everyone know what is inside. Reach it. Grab it. Describe it. What does it say? What is that thing?
It's a ninja flick dart.
Yes!
This looks dangerous.
Oh, damn. Yeah, it does.
Ninja flick dart.
Yeah, you're going to put somebody's eye out with that shit.
You're going to be flinging blades.
This is totally dangerous.
You have to go out and get a cat just so you can... Put that at the cat. That's how that works.
This is perfect. The warning. Always follow these important safety rules when playing with this toy. Supervision of an adult is recommended, especially for younger players. Never aim at people or animals.
Yes.
What do you think I'm going to go do with this?
Aiming at people or animals.
Who else are you supposed to aim that thing at? I don't understand.
This is ridiculous.
There you go, buddy. Jerky, can you make sure this guy gets some stickers as well?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure this is banned in this country.
It's got it, yeah. Oh, I had to go through some work to get it, so there you go.
That's fantastic.
Angel, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Man, it was awesome.
I really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
All right, everyone, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember, pftmedia.com. Check out all the other great shows on the radio network. We are literally just getting started. There will be stuff uploading weekly, new shows, new content, new people, new personalities. Also, shout out to Good Scotch, A Good Conversation. Vote for them. Best podcast in Orlando. Also, Fuck Your Orlando Weekly. Also, be excellent to each other. Break up the big banks. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Read more books. I love you all. Have a good one.
A PFT Media production.